This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is 7 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. This is the show with Clayton McKee. That's me, alongside, at least at this point, Kat Carlson and Al Perkins. We are live inside Studio C. I just got a text from Marnie.
Is she on her way?
She's on...
Running late.
Well, you saw it too. Apparently, her car is still in the shop. Remember the conversation from last week?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, there was a lot. She didn't just go fucking buy a new car.
No, I'm curious to hear what the rest of the story is. But anyway, she had to wait for Ernie's car. She's on her way, so she'll be here sometime between now and 10.
As long as she does it safely.
Yeah. Yes, she'll be shooting across the valley here.
Jettison at your own risk.
Jettison. Exactly. Oh, well, hi, everybody. Nero and my mom, Mama Di, and Drew already in the chat room. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us from wherever it is you're participating. Thank you. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 2015, and this is show number 220.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you? You're under the weather, unfortunately, Mr. Perkins.
Yeah, strange enough. I'm blaming Denver. I'm blaming the good people of Colorado.
And their damn humidity.
At large, just...
Yeah, I just don't know. It was a cough that just turned into...
Colorado's not humid.
It was rainy when I was there.
You sit corrected.
Well, I certainly wouldn't stand for it, so I'll sit.
And I was on such a roll of like exercising, and looking great, feeling good. And then seriously, it was like one cough on the elliptical machine, and the next day it was like two coughs, and then day three I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
Luckily, I'm orienting someone, so I just sit in the distance and don't really do anything at work. I just direct her.
Oh, like, that was going to be my next question.
Like a puppeteer.
From a distance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you look like my friend.
Hello, Anant.
Hi.
Welcome.
So, yeah, it just came up all of a sudden, and then, Sunday was just a rough, rough day.
I seem to have seen a couple posts of you
Monday's when I went to get a massage. I took as much cold medicine as I could find in the house because I thought a massage might help.
It's sure. Called, release those toxins.
It's called, postural drainage, where you flip somebody up so that's going to be bedridden. You flip them on their stomach so that their back can open up with their lungs and it drains out the lungs. And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was using my poor massage therapist as a guinea pig to see. Hopefully he did not get sick.
How did that work out for you?
It was good. I didn't cough till I turned over, and then I was
then
I hid under the towel and
got it.
But it was it was really nice. He's such a nice guy, and I got sunburned in Colorado the day that it finally got nice. I didn't pack appropriate sunblock. I was not prepared for what weather they were going to have, or that
right.
They're 1 inch from the sun. So my head got sunburned a little bit, and my scalp is peeling in a very attractive way.
Mm.
So, you know, he was doing the scalp massage, so he leaves the oil on my head. He's like, before you go, he's like, you need a hat, you need sunblock. He's like, I'm going to make you wipe off the oil on your head. He's like, you're going to walk to your car and, like, fry like an egg.
Oh, my goodness. No.
But he was so concerned about, like, please. I'm like, no, I'm. It was a mistake. I just was not prepared for their weather. Like, the first time in history that I did not travel with sunscreen.
An arsenal of...
Because I just was not... I had no idea what their weather was. And it rained the first 2 days, so that didn't. That doesn't instill confidence that you need to go out and buy something.
Right.
When you can touch the cloud.
They're right there.
And not the virtual cloud. I mean an actual fucking cloud.
Fluffy white.
Yeah, fluffy white.
Sure, there's that.
Because Santa just is
just
white.
Just is white.
Just white. Right. Thank you, Kelly.
I just described Santa. Bad week for Fox News.
So, all around.
Now it's just medicine, and like I'm playing kitchen chemist, and...
How's that? Well, now you got coffee and peanuts and something else you came
Mucinex,
in with.
Mucinex, Tessalon Pearls, neosinephrine up the nose, a little Aleve.
By hour two, you'll be fantastic.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Here. Sure.
If I know who you two are by then, and if I can see that person, I'm going to be scared.
Yeah, you will be. She'll be here.
Yeah.
Sometime. Who knows?
Good times.
That'll be fun.
Kat Carlson.
I can't wait for that to happen, for Al to just look to his right and be like, oh my God.
That was our human there.
When did you get here?
And the irony. Can we just point out that I love me some irony, but not this time.
All right, bring it on.
It is hotter than a motherfucker outside with like a blast furnace kicker.
Yes.
Like it's not just 117 million degrees, but then there's this wind coming through that's obviously from the devil's asshole.
I was literally like,
it's
I got out of my pool.
It's only 109 right now.
It's true.
But that wind is hot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I got out of my pool and was dry like incrementally as I was going up the steps. Like whatever had just come out of the water was dry before I hit the next step.
Because it's like living in a blow dryer. I mean, there's just no getting around it. I walked out to get to the mail today and that wind hit me in the face and I'm like, well, I should just stand out here and be cured. Like whatever is going
just
on.
Just burn it out of you. Got it.
Because I was like, is the house next door on fire? Where could that breeze be coming from?
Was it a Nant who was living where it was incredibly hot?
And, but they added humidity to, and then their monsoon season hit. Anant, has there been any relief from?
Yeah, what is the current?
Our reporter on the ground.
What is our current temperature over there? Because it was 118 or 120, wasn't it? Like last week for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With humidity and
crazy hot.
So they're very scary when that kind of weather hits.
Yeah.
Where people do not have the means or like a place where you can go, like a city center, to at least go sit in the convention center and
it's just hot.
Stare at each other in air conditioning.
It just is hot.
Yeah, it just
white hot.
Yeah. That's no fucking joke, too.
No kidding.
Not okay.
Oh, well, okay, before we went on the air, Kat was sharing a funny story that your other half is technologically challenged or something?
The love of my life has, like, whatever the opposite of the Midas touch is for electronics.
Oh, I don't know what that would be, but okay.
Like, seriously. I think she's got some, like, witch fingers or something happening, because as soon as she touches something, she's destroyed a tablet now. Not destroyed, but apparently deleted crucial elements.
Operating elements of it, yeah.
Deleted the Play Store from an Android tablet.
It can no longer be called a tablet.
Right.
Now it's just a thing.
Here's paperweight. This thing. Here's a paperweight.
Now it's just a glass screeny thing.
Yeah.
So my guess is you don't let her touch any of your stuff.
No. I've actually always been really selfish about it. Like, I watch other people, and especially around people with kids, because they will just hand over an iPhone and be like, here, shut up for a while.
No.
Which I totally understand the inclination, but no, I'm going to buy you your own.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not touching mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your greasy little peanut butter fingers.
I'll be responsible for breaking it if it's mine, not you.
Right. Yeah. You don't touch my things. Here's your own. Now shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go on eBay and get you a $20 first model ever made.
Used one, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, consequently, please, don't come steal it all. But the amount of electronics in my house is sometimes a little stunning. And especially when we travel. Like, we don't travel very often, but if we go out of town for any reason...
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, the electronics are like one entire compartment of the car.
Right. Because you might have to launch the space shuttle.
And I would be able to do it with all the devices that I have. I could set up an entire screen, like an entire wall of touchscreen tablets, and it's magnificent.
It's not bad where Anant is now. It's 80 degrees Fahrenheit right now where he is. So that's a lovely day.
I did pause and look for the F.
I did too.
I was like, well, 80 degrees Celsius.
Well, actually, I take
that's
the
pretty fucking hot.
I didn't. I just assumed it was going to be Celsius, so I put it in the converter, and I'm like, well, I know it's not 176 degrees,
right.
And then I realized the F was
probably
there.
Probably not. I feel like we'd have heard about
we'd
that.
We'd probably, right. We would have somehow.
Even the American news would have paused for 176 degrees.
Now, I wonder, based on what.
We're warming a turkey slowly in India.
Based on what he normally wears during breaking news and if he's on location, at 176 degrees, what would Anderson Cooper
wear?
He'd
be in a wife beater and boxer shorts. As the level
and no one's going to be mad about that.
As the level of crisis goes up,
his clothes
get more casual.
Sure.
Well, because he doesn't want to be, standing there in a suit while people are dropping dead of heat stroke.
Yeah, he tries to match callous. Their suffering with his own little
that's consideration.
Ensemble.
Right there.
Ensemble.
That's always makes me laugh. Some comic pointed that out, and I'm like, oh my god, it's so true.
Yeah. I totally agree. He hasn't been on the ground at all, if I'm not mistaken, with regards to the prison escapees. Though.
No, he's in Charleston.
Oh, he did go there. Okay.
No. Actually, he was at the desk tonight. He was at the desk.
Yeah, I don't think he'd been there.
No, nobody wants to go to the Adirondacks in the summer.
Mm-mm.
No. He's not everybody else.
There's not a whole lot of places you do want to go in the summer, and if you go anywhere, it's going to be north.
My favorite line from all of that coverage this week has been: Remember way back at the Boston bombings when the one reporter said that
it was like a bomb went off.
She's the streets are all vacant. It's like a bomb went off. Remember when she said that?
Mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
This one. Hi, Martin. This one was just last night. She said that there were multiple buses showing up for whatever they were transporting police and getting everything ready. She says, it's literally busloads of people. And I was like, no shit.
Thank you.
They just going behind her, they're busloads of people.
I love shit like that.
It's good
like,
to know.
I feel like that's not puns. I feel like that's something else.
No, and she meant it literally.
Fucking hilarious. But when the, I don't know
that
why
was
it's
bad
hilarious.
At the when Candiotti said that it looked like a bomb had gone off. That's oh my god, that's the worst thing you could have possibly.
And then you can hear a pin drop a minute later. One happened, one's a metaphor.
Oh, hokey smokes. Well, now we're all back together because, again, we round out the table with Marnie Ryer. Okay. She's there. Hi. I'm going to be curious, and we don't have to do it on the air, but I'm going to be curious to hear what the...
I tried to call you.
When did you... When?
The last... When I took it. Monday.
Really?
Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday.
Yeah. Funny.
Did Sharon touch your phone? Yeah.
Cat's girlfriend. Catch my phone. It no longer receives call.
Yeah.
I tried to
I'm not even kidding.
No, I don't recall missing a call from you. And depending on what time it came in, I might have just not even seen the phone.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'll be curious to hear how many different parts we're going to replace on the car now.
Just one.
Just one? Is it the transmission?
The car?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. It's something that Subarus have. That's exciting.
All-wheel drive? Where,
lesbian drivers. Well,
getting warmer. Getting warmer.
It's something that's like a differential hill lock. Or something.
Oh.
Where it's with the calipers. So, well done, Mr.
Thank
McKee.
Thank you. It sounded like a brake issue.
But it's not the brakes. The brakes are absolutely fine. It's something with, there's a hill lock mechanism on it.
To prevent rollback?
Most people that...
Is it the thing that has the little windy track and the yellow car on it that lights up once in a bit?
Nope. That's the brake.
That's a button inside the car.
That was a Bon Jovi album.
No, but I was
slippery when wet. Good.
I was just wondering if that would be the corresponding light to whatever your problem
might
be.
No light went on.
No light.
But it's basically because they think Subaru owners would be people that would live in hillier areas, mm-hmm. you know.
Because of their bosoms.
Or like Oregon or something.
Right.
But.
So how much is this anti-rollback device?
$800.
Oh, of course it is.
Not where I thought we were going with this, though.
Rule?
No, me either.
New car.
New car.
Yeah. No, I thought we were going higher.
I did, too.
Yeah, okay. So.
I did, too. So.
New cup, move down.
We took it away, and then it locked up again last Friday and did the same thing. Not 12 hours after, I'm like, okay, take it back and get that part and put it in.
Got it.
So, yeah. You have to be able to drive and put your foot... your feet on the clutch and the brake at the same time and almost like tap it. And then you
never knew this car
twice.
Had this, did
I
you?
I didn't know.
All these years.
And I'm like, why after 10 years would, cause I've had it at end of May was 10 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Oh, that's too old.
No, it's not.
No, and it just hit, like, she just hit 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, and we got to go.
No. if it's over 100 miles, Al's like, what?
Al's getting all Game of Thrones over there, too.
Now, speaking of, now, speaking of cars, I was surprised I didn't hear from you last week. I heard that you had another non-starting with your car, and I was like, sure as shit, he's going to show up with another car.
It was simply sleepy time for my car. I'd run errands last Thursday. I went for an... I don't know, I ran around, did movie, did things that you might do.
Like you do, exactly.
What they were. But I got home to take a little nap before work, laid down for like an hour and a half, and had been out in my car all day long, driving around, like little errands, water bottles, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
And
again, like you do.
Like you do. I get up to start my car and just, and the little green car with the two arrows didn't come on, and tried again. So I turned it off. I turned off the air conditioning, and there's the lights flash in the inside like you're in a disco. It's very confusing when they does that.
It's a lot.
And then it wouldn't do anything. So I called Carlton, and he was home doing laundry. I'm like, is there any way you can just whip me to work, and I'll find a ride home in the morning? So he drove me to work. I got a ride home from somebody that just moved nearby. And I like walked up to my car just to give it a whirl, see what happened. Turn the ignition, and it started.
Just needed a breather.
Needed a nap.
All right.
But it was like 117 million degrees, and I was stopping and starting. And I don't know if those little short trips are good or bad for a car. I've never known. Like, you know what I mean?
But your car doesn't really start.
No, and that's the funny thing, because whenever somebody's near my car, they're like, is it on?
Yeah.
I thought you meant more like a Fred Flintstone kind of
thing. No.
Because of the hybrid, and it's so quiet that, and Ford isn't one of the cars, like, I think Toyota added the noise because
the Priuses were too silent.
They were running people over at stoplights.
I can believe that.
People didn't know there was a car coming, and they were like going, and then bam. smacked down by a big piece of plastic.
Lerner and Rowe all of a sudden was involved.
Yeah. That's the way to go.
That's the way to go. I heard that. Even nice. I'm so stoned, even I went for the pun.
Very nice. Good.
I was, can't help it.
So, I mean, it was just the oddest thing, and it's been starting. I've been all ready to, like, do something about it, but it starts right up. I've just started now when my journey is ended, I turn off the radio and the air conditioning so that when the car starts, it doesn't have to start up, like,
all of the things.
The space shuttle.
No.
Because somebody had told me that years ago that
that's bullshit. Because I haven't brought all my electronics over, so.
Yeah.
No, it means nothing, because when you go from accessory to start, it disconnects everything in the car.
Oh.
And then it just, all power goes to starting, and then when you release it, it comes back up.
Oh, well, good, because I found that whole system it makes no
difference. So shutting off your air conditioning has no bearing at all on operation of the car. So there is that. But I really assumed, though, your car, because it's got the battery, I assumed when you turn on, that would take over, and you would just have driven away on battery power, and then later on it would have kicked the engine in. Because your engine does not always start when you turn the key on.
No, but for some reason the battery is not.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Crazy.
But it is that time of year, so you just kind of go.
That 91S10 still fires up and runs perfectly. Oh. In fact, I just recharged my air conditioning today. Woo, it is chilly in there.
Oh, yeah. Look out.
Very excited for that.
That is the one thing about my hybrid is I have earache air conditioning.
Yeah.
Like, when I put that thing to 65, you are like, can I have a muffler?
I have a friend that calls it Beyonce air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that.
Very much so. Well, we've kind of
jump in her car, and I'm like, "Oh, Beyonce, turn it down."
Slow, calm down.
I just lost my wig. Calm down.
To say with brand sweating in the balls.
It's 109 right now in Central Phoenix.
It's just felt today more humid, which we don't usually have humidity. So when it's funny to me.
We're at 8% now.
I was telling him it's that hot fucking breeze.
It is. It just kind of like
it's like
saps
opening
you.
Your oven. In fact, I saw something that local news did about like they bake the cookies.
I just thought of something. Yeah.
Did you see that thing?
Oh yeah,
circulating the
Channel
Facebook
12
where
that.
They put the pan of cookies in there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, if I could do that with bread.
Yeah.
Probably.
It took them five hours.
Yeah, they stick it on the dash for
but
the
if you got nothing
day.
Else to do.
No.
I mean, if your car's just fucking sitting
and then
there.
It's going to smell like cookies forever.
I know, right? That would be delicious.
Well, okay. What's wrong with that? Good right. Chocolate, fresh no, chocolate.
I went to yeast. You know what I mean? I went to the bread rising, and I thought, really, a yeasty smell?
No, not that, but the cookies would be better.
Yeah, no, but I mean, bread rising is a delicious smell. Oh, I'd allow it. I would like my car to smell like bread for a long time.
By the way, jumping topics, the other day, you did a live Periscope broadcast from your very own kitchen.
I sure did.
And I watched
bread,
as much as I could.
I know, it was very fun.
Oh,
she was
cooking show.
She did. In fact, she kept saying, yeah. I need to have Al so we can
Al
have
to come to my kitchen.
The
so
Missy
it can be...
Al Network.
Right.
Oh, it was so funny.
It was very funny. And I found it like very, very cool to do the Periscope. While there was somebody to interact with, like there was that one guy that like kind of kept shooting questions, and so I had something to talk about. Like I'm not sure.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm not sure without like
if you could carry off a 90-minute monologue
like, without stimulation. Like if I could just keep going and talking. Like I did a little.
I think
bit.
If you were doing a training video or doing something where it was just you were literally just giving information, but you were baking bread. But I agree with what you're saying. I think that the question interaction, which is what Jay Rodriguez was doing during that fish tank thing I was talking about,
kind of drives it and actually gives
people,
it content and makes it a little bit more interesting.
Asking questions, doing stuff. It was very cool.
Yeah.
But I did notice one of the things that you had is I don't know how far your phone was from you.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't fucking see it.
You couldn't see
it. You know what? Here's how blind I am. Because I'm in my kitchen, so I had it propped up on the surface. So it was literally like my phone's here, and I'm like mixing shit over here, and I was like, what the fuck? Okay, and I'd have to lean in and squint because I couldn't see the little tiny comments there. I'm like,
we have a dramatic debut. And shit in my shorts.
We have a dramatic debut.
Reenactment.
Go ahead, chat amongst yourself.
Oh, right, she's going to do something. Very busy. He's very busy,
thing,
this Al Perkins.
Yes. But yeah, no, Periscope, I'm still always kind of looking for a reason to.
Because
I think it's super cool, and I think it's a very fun, like, interactive way. And it, you know, feeds my need for shameless self-promotion, which also helps.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I think it is fun because, oh, I know what the debut is.
They
don't
serve a lot of purpose, but I got them.
Nice. I'm sure they will. Look at this.
Oh, look at how cute and green they are.
Oh, and the green, of course. You got green.
I like that.
So now, Perkins, what can you see now?
No, well, like, this is clearer. But like that, now it makes me want to throw up. Like anything, because I don't have...
Yep.
Oh, well, yeah, and you're going to have to wear them pretty steadily to get rid of that makes me want to throw up feeling, too.
Mine were, too.
But they're not progressive, so they're all blown up.
So, oh.
But,
Yeah.
But this is nice.
So you got to scooch him down your nose a little bit.
But your bigger thing was the fact...
I don't want to talk to people like that.
No.
Because then I'd be that critic on SNL. What's his
name?
Yes.
When do you want me to give you the chain that you can just keep him around your neck?
Oh, my goodness. Can we get him a pearl chain?
Oh, my God. That'd be
I'd love that.
My pearls.
I'm on board. Just
bring it up. Yeah. Can you see him at work?
No.
What I love is this case is just so handy.
But the whole reason for this was you could...
$9 million.
You couldn't read a menu? What was it you recently had an issue with that you couldn't...
It was a drug at work that I honestly couldn't see the bottle. So that now I need
Which
to take
that. That's an issue. Right?
And it's when I get tired.
Not so much for you, but like, for other people.
This. I can see this just fine. There's absolutely not, like, I'm not, I don't think I'm squinting. I'm not doing anything.
But the more tired you get.
Blows it up and it's like, holy shit.
But if you're trying to read the print on this Carmex thing, you're fucked.
Right, because then we're like, get the light brighter.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not going to carry around a pair of glasses to read, you know, the random Carmex.
The odd Carmex one. You could just memorize the ingredients.
Right,
and be
exactly.
Done with it. Right.
There's
for
car
all your
and
Carmex
mix.
Questions. But it is nice for, well, who gives a shit? I've shared so much. I do enjoy reading the Entertainment Weekly on the toilet.
Uh-huh. Sure, like you do.
So they're in the bathroom because that's where I can't read because my like everything else in my house, everything has black lampshades or 20-watt bulbs. It's so dim in my bathroom that the joy of reading is gone in there.
Oh, sure. That's a shame.
So I sit there. What
now?
Really,
a place that you like to read? No, I completely understand.
So now it's in there, and the Entertainment Weeklies are flying by.
Maybe you should get your Entertainment Weekly sent to you on your iPad so you can watch it read
I
on
do.
A backlit.
I like the Entertainment Weekly. No, I do. I can get the whole. Got it. If I need to. Yeah. When I travel, I try to do that.
Gotcha.
But
it's a bit.
There it is.
There's something about low tech in the bathroom with the magazine. I get it.
It's a very big difference because, like I did, whatever, it's been 2 years ago now when I got mine. Very different. I didn't realize what I wasn't seeing at a distance. Yeah. And the how much more clear everything is. It really is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't need it for here. I don't need it. I need it for reading, and I need it for 25 feet on.
Yeah, and see, and I have, like I said, I had 20/20 vision when I was just tested, and honestly, I could fake a 2015. Like, the doctor was like, I'm not going to write down 2015. She's like, but you did get that right. So she's like, my far away vision from the LASIX is still
I always have to tell them what I'm doing, the eye chart or anything, because I've been blind forever and ever. I got glasses at 5 years old. Like, I've always had correction. And so when I go in, and they're like, okay, read this line, and I have to look at them and go, okay. This is not because I can see it, but this is because I know what this says. You know what I mean? Not because I've memorized
they
but I can...
changed it all up now. They're tricky.
Yeah, are they?
Because it used to be like CF907. You know what I mean? That was one of the trickier lines. Because I had the same problem. I would lie because I didn't want new glasses.
Right.
Or new contacts. So I knew like the one line. Like I had the lines memorized to get out of it.
Yeah, no, I don't memorize them, but I tell them because I can tell what it says without actually being able to see it. I'm so used to... I used to say it when I worked in when I was the DJ at the Cash because I could see somebody coming through the front door and I can't see their face, I can't see anything, but I can tell you who it is just based on general shape and other cues. I can't actually see them, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about the eye chart. I'm like, I know that that's an N. I know it. Like my brain says N right there, but my eyes are like, nope.
Or when
you know what they do that's mean? Now they do the grandma test because I'm so old.
Oh, because they put
now
the
they put
ones
the
physical,
it's not like seeing it across the room. Like they put this thing in front of your face like this, and they're like,
read it
this.
Now, bitch.
Read this
that was the tone of voice that little cunt used. Too.
Oh,
well, I know. I'm due for mine soon too, and I always look forward.
She deserved all of my wrath and scorn.
We had a remember the character.
Actually, I bought a pair of glasses.
Remember the character Tim Conway used to do the doctor that was really old. He used to go over there when Mom and I went to Costco and got our. Done. We laughed so hard because it was just like having to. He would shuffle back and forth from the little desk to us. It was cracking us up. We were laughing, and he had no clue.
Funniest things ever. Really? That
I lived in abject denial for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then last year, I was with my sisters, and I told them, you know, January 1st, I'm signing up for vision insurance again because I haven't carried it in years because
mm-hmm.
you know denial does not include
paying for
insurance,
it, right?
If I'm denying it, why would I pay for the privilege? So I was getting it, and so my sister was like, just try a pair on and see how it goes. And I put it on. I'm like, all you could hear throughout this souvenir store was, motherfucker! No, I'm not wearing the headphones.
And yet you can hear it's just fine.
So your sight and your hearing are both going? Is that what we gather from this?
No, I'm so out of it on cold medicine. Like I said, I think there's somebody sitting there.
Right. It's me.
It's Mark. With shorter hair than from last week, I think.
That's true. Yeah. Oh,
I did.
Got your hairs,
dude. Got your hairs, dude.
And almost, and I'm almost caught up to your color.
What do you, because it's getting more silver?
Oh my gosh, yes. Mine is too.
More silver, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to go blue.
It looks really good on you, though.
Blue?
Yeah. Become a blue hair?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Like you're bright, gonna bright get colors and different like, hues and very.
All right, yeah. Go big or go home. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Just
tease like a fat third grader?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
And the blue and silver candles would have just have matched the hair in Grandma's wig. Exactly. I almost drove off the road the first time I heard that song while driving a car. I lost use of almost all of my faculties in that particular couplet.
Oh, Grandma got run over by a reindeer, that song.
That's fun.
Though annoying at times, but that line is a good one.
It really should come with a warning. Like, this song's going to get really funny, really fucking fast.
Go into the hair just real quick again.
Uh-huh.
When they did the no hate shoot,
mm-hmm.
and you know how they kind of screw with your
Photoshop the shit out of you
and whatever. Yeah. Right. My hair in that was like tinsel. Someone just went with the silver tinsel that you do this.
And yeah.
They kind of bring
out the whites for some reason. Well, because they just bring out the whites. But it really does pop that. So I wonder if that's what happened with your hair, too. Because I just love how everybody's skin looks in those pictures. Well, that's the kind of photoshopping I want my hands on.
One of the recent photographs of me is alongside Miss Carlson here when we were at the Throwback Thursday thing with
the
Cobalt. When you and I are next to each other, and I think it was Fernando that took the picture. My hair just looks almost white.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Like, wow, look at that.
Yeah. I realize
some of it's a sheen from hair product, but there is a lot of silver.
I think it looks great. Yeah,
I'm not mad at it.
I'm not either.
Is that what we're saying? It's the sheen from...
The sheen.
No, there is from the hair pomade I use. There is some of that, but no, without it, if I'm standing under a light with no product, it's just... White. It just is white.
Yeah.
Just is white.
Kids.
Yeah.
And I couldn't care less.
I'm so happy to have not actually joined that club.
Just like my mom. She doesn't color her hair anymore, and she's just about got all of the bits cut off that were colored.
Yeah.
So she's just gone completely natural. Mm-hmm. And now she's discovered that since she's quit coloring her hair, there's a wave coming back to her hair that they didn't know about.
Mm.
So, yeah, but she's loving every bit of the no color, no fuck with it. It's all good. I think it's called retirement. She's wearing it well.
I like it.
Very good stuff.
I'm ready to join that club.
Well, you can get there. But
20 short years away.
You don't have to worry about hair at this point. Yeah. Is there anything else for me to catch up on this in this first half hour? For some reason, the minutes are passing like hours to me.
We're leaving in
Are you feeling like we've been doing
Thursday.
This for a long time?
We're leaving Thursday for California. We're going to go to first San Diego Pride. So we're very excited about it. We're going to sit in the grandstand like old people. And
Hang on. San Diego Pride isn't until July.
No, San Francisco. Whoa. It was a sand. That's all I had right there.
I have a business trip planned in July, and I know I'm going to that Pride.
I couldn't figure out why you had that look on your face. Yeah. My bad.
Okay. Starts with an S.
San Francisco.
Got it.
So, yeah, we're going to San Francisco Pride. Aaron's uncle and his partner live there.
Mm-hmm.
They had been in Berkeley. Now they're right in San Francisco. And... So it's very exciting, and her uncle plays in the symphony, so we're going to be going to Anything Goes.
Oh,
we're going to be seeing that up there. Yeah.
Do you know who the traveling group is?
Mm-mm. No. Aaron might. I don't know if you do, but the... he has to play, so we get to go along. I'm very excited about that.
It's a delight. I just saw the Phoenix Theater version, which was, you know, a local company, They were kind of aping more of the 80s version with Patti LuPone. But the music is just lovely, delightful.
I like it.
I mean, it's Cole Porter at just his most fun.
Good.
And it's one of those shows, it's a groaner, you know what I mean? But every once in a while they just hit you, every 5 seconds, not every once in a while. It's a constant barrage of like really clever, catchy music.
Well, how fun to be able to go, and we're going to go to the theater in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, it just sounds very ho-ho. And I like that.
So now, by chance, is it, because I am woefully ignorant of everything that's in that area. First of all, never been to San Francisco.
Yeah, I know.
But I do know.
I know.
I do know that the Opera House is across from
Harvey Milk,
right?
That building.
But is where you're going in that, is that like a theater area? Is that where you're going?
I honestly don't know.
I don't remember. And, you know,
I don't know that.
I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that I saw Will Rogers' Follies as it was getting ready to go to New York. with Keith, and I just was like, I just stumbled in. So I think the, I think that's all kind of in the same area. Like,
I know there's a big park across from there.
Yeah, because so I mean, I literally just stumbled like across the marquee and was like, okay,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. But it's it should.
It
be
It seems like an artsy area that with like maybe there's a symphony hall and the opera house and all.
It absolutely could be. Yeah, absolutely could be. There's so much I think when you're down there, whether you're riding or driving, that you're like this.
You know, so well, I know that like I saw Kathy Griffin in North Beach.
Walnut Grove, Al. Does that help?
Walnut Creek, I don't know.
Walnut Grove something.
I'm not sure, but I know like in North Beach is where the theater
is. I know
with
where that is. My sister got her ear chopped off there.
Okie dokie. Oh, good. Fine.
Be on the lookout for an ear.
Yeah.
No, they found it and reattached it. She was in a car accident in that area years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like,
this is a
that
Christmas
sounds-
story?
Yeah, this is a touching story, Kat.
It was holiday time.
Of course it was. Memories. Did she have a gun?
Yeah.
Fun.
A Red Ryder?
With Cat Girls.
Yeah. Yes. Good times.
Sorry, I just spit that out.
No,
sorry.
I was like,
so you leave on Thursday.
Yeah, we're leaving Thursday, and we'll be in San Francisco through Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go to Santa Cruz through Thursday. And we're going to go to the boardwalk, and they have movies on the beach. And so we're going to...
Your Jaws playing, is very popular on the beach.
I know, right? They're playing Breakfast Club that night. So that'll be kind of fun. Just sit on the beach.
Santa Cruz is lovely.
And it's like 60. It'll be like 60-some degrees, 70-some. Aaron's going to be in heaven.
Terrible.
I'm going to bring a sweater and
well, remember Mark Twain's famous quote, the coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco. Yep,
that just came up. We were just talking about that. So
it's ice cold there in June and July.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I bet. No, I know.
Yeah, we're excited, though.
Truly miserable.
We were very confused.
We're really excited. We're going to take a harbor tour and in San Francisco, and then we're going to see whales and do all that down in Monterey. It's just
Alcatraz tour, not so fun. But
they're closed right now, so that's why,
Well, good, because it's a waste of time. But you can take the circle tour that goes around the island and kind of around Sausalito and underneath the bridge. That's a lovely tour, and that's what I do in all kinds of cities. I've done the one in Chicago. I've done it in New York. The Circle Line tour, you just jump on a bus, jump on a boat, jump on whatever they're getting you around, and it sounds cheesy and touristy, but you get to see like a big chunk of the city with a guide who tells you where stuff is.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
And like in Philadelphia, we wrote down restaurant names, like we got to see Alcatraz, so actually stopping on Alcatraz.
Right.
I don't if we go to New York with me, we don't go to the Statue of Liberty, we take the Staten Island Ferry and wave to the Statue of Liberty.
Right. Yeah, about 15 years ago, we went, my friend George, who lives out there, decided that, we have to take this boat tour. He got us on this boat. Well, it really was. I don't think it was a chartered number. We, because we got on it, and some guy walks up and he's like, get on the boat and come on, sit down right there, right in front. And the water is, but we should never have done that.
Well, the boat tour that we took in Morro,
we're here.
In Morro Bay in California, where everyone learned the word junk. Like, we were in a junk.
That's what you call a boat that's just. What?
No, it's just a boat. It's called a junk. But a junk. I was like, now I get what this word means because we're on a junk.
Was that not you and the Wilk?
That was me and Tim and Harrison.
Okay,
and JD. It was a wonderful time.
I thought there was something with them.
Us on the floating sandbox out to the out into the ocean in Acapulco.
Well, a junk.
Very funny.
The actual term for a junk is an ancient Chinese sailing ship.
Right.
They're called a junk. So that's what you were on?
No, but that's when you hear ancient Chinese sailing ship, that pretty much was an accurate description of what the fuck I got on.
Right. I was just curious if that was actually what you were on. Or if you were just on a relatively crappy boat that you...
Right.
Both answers are
correct.
Okay, got it. I know the term from that song.
Piece of shit when we get back.
What's that Michael Penn song? What if I was Romeo in black jeans? No myth.
Oh, okay.
I take the first junk to China. That's where I learned the term. So I was like, why is he on a junk? So
I remember
Google did not
that,
exist, so that took a minute.
I remember hearing that from Al. That's where I learned
it. It was encyclopedias.
That's where I learned most of my shit.
And I don't think the term junk was used for other things back in that day that they are now. So why was he on junk? Good time.
Yeah, good time.
That's what his
little heroin was.
That's the guy's name.
Maybe choking.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so... That's all that's coming up.
Well, that's plenty. That's a lot.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah. Good times.
So for those listening, program note, Marty will not be with us next Tuesday.
Correct.
That was a subtle way to slip that in.
I think I've got it written on my calendar.
Yeah.
You asked me to send for next text month. It,
for next month. There was no detour to the show for 3 hours and then back to Santa Cruz.
No.
For a filming of the Breakfast
Club. I got
that. Live via satellites.
Well, we could do that. We could do that. I could get the green screen.
Oh, well, no, actually, depending, we could actually do a live phone call and get an old update. We could actually do that, too. So we might. It would be fun to be able to Periscope in, though. See, that's what I'm working on. I think it would be fun to be able to go live.
Well, if I leave one of my iPads here.
Oh, via Periscope, that'd be fun.
We could do one. I have Periscope.
Yeah, I know.
We could do one of my, I could put one of my iPads right here and then FaceTime in. Right? Couldn't I FaceTime to
you
this?
You could totally FaceTime to that, yeah.
You can.
And then I'd be right there.
Well, actually, you can.
The whole time.
We're not going to go to all that trouble. I just thought a brief little, sounds where are you? Fun. What do you see? Is it raining where you are?
Yeah. Then,
well, I think this would be funnier, but that's just
me. We can put a little hat on the iPad.
Right, exactly.
Looks like mostly what you wear. Got it.
That would be
mostly
fantastic.
What you wear.
Typically.
A chapeau. What is it? Yes.
Well, and I wouldn't ever want to let anybody down. I mean, if I need to put one on, I can.
No, we understand. We understand. And but we appreciate your wanting.
And for Miss Cat, I am trying a new beer. It's a cider. It's a cherry something.
Cherry
cider.
Tree cider.
What's it called? Ooh. Cardinal Sin?
Original Sin.
Original Sin. Mm-hmm.
A little even different better. Than the card, but there are cardinal sins. Good work.
There are.
Similar.
All I saw was the AL at the end. Yeah, and I got the sin. So that's just what I went to.
Just made the mental leap. I understand. It's bottled in Cape Canaveral, Florida.
Ooh. Probably tastes like jet fuel.
We should be careful opening.
Yeah.
6.7%.
If you say go with throttle up when you open it, maybe a bad idea.
What's this button for?
Ingredients. Apple cider. Tart cherries.
Oh, tart cherries.
Well, why would you? I like the tart cherry.
You are a tart one, aren't you?
Well, tight and tart.
And it's gluten-free. Would you look at that? I'll bet it's delicious.
I'm telling you. If it weren't gluten-free, I wouldn't have bought it.
Why would you bother?
May I?
What do you need?
Do you want me to open it?
Bar key down here?
Has anyone seen the the Amy Schumer?
I'm going to say no.
It's in the worst possible taste.
She's
in the restaurant and the guy in her companion tells her that he has HIV. Actually, he has full-blown AIDS.
Oh, my God, yes.
And they have this whole conversation about, like, how they're going to carry on with their relationship even though he has full-blown AIDS. And it just gets really graphic and really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Really? And then the waiter comes over and she's like, do you have anything from the gluten-free menu? And he's like, God damn it. I'm a foodie. I'm out of here. Yeah.
So that was the deal breaker.
Yeah. She's like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
But the gluten-free wasn't going to fly. It was.
I had not seen that.
My Tuesday nights into Wednesday morning on Comedy Central, I tape like 5 episodes because late night, they don't edit them.
They don't bleep them.
They don't bleep them. Okay. And that show is just
it's funny
every fucking week. Like, not a bad episode yet.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. You want to try it? I know cider. It's
no,
cider.
I'm just going to get it. I do, but I'm going to get a separate glass.
Here, I'll get one.
Oh, yeah.
We have them.
Oh, yeah, we have cups.
Oh, you know, speaking of which, I haven't done any research to find out where the hell Tomo's package went. I still am going to guess that custom agents stole it and ate the Pop-Tarts.
Have confiscated our Pop-Tarts.
And somewhere there's a cunt mug in Auckland, New Zealand that they're trying to figure out what the hell. What does that mean?
Sons of bitches.
What is this? Well, they could call us. They could look it up.
They could.
It's no worse than the Mucinex I'm high on right now.
What you're drinking?
Yeah, it's cherry. I mean, I'm drinking blue
flavor. Do
you want
to try it?
It's largely apple-y, but slightly cherry.
What berry is that?
It's a cherry.
Cherry berry.
Cherber. Yeah, everything just tastes like cough syrup right now.
No.
Wow.
It's like, God, you could be drinking Sambuca or Rumplemintz or any of that stuff. Nobody gives a shit.
Right. Oh, God, Rumplemintz.
Why would you
please,
either one
God,
of those?
Don't curse me with that.
That's awful.
Rumplemintz. Oh, when you make a York peppermint patty shot, I do enjoy that.
Because
it tastes like a York peppermint. It's very refreshing. It's like you're going downhill.
And Marnie's girl offers that all of the seasons of Amy Schumer are on
Hulu. That's why I was like, what the hell is that?
I could make that bigger font for you if you'd like on that screen.
No, I couldn't read that.
She says Amy is on Hulu, and then she's like, oh my God,
R. What are you, a pirate?
Yeah.
She's practicing. She's practicing for when
Seal Island. Yeah.
All
right. Next.
Be
next
sure to
segment.
Watch Blackfish again. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Next caller.
Figure it all out on that. All right. Well, I think we can pull this off. Marnie Ryer's set to go. We're gonna just do this and see how it goes. And if you don't like it, well, tune out. It doesn't matter. Here we go. Our headline segment brought to you by somebody who didn't realize what they were getting into. Whoever that sponsor is.
Oh.
I was making shit up, it doesn't matter.
I like it.
Don Featherstone passes away.
There's a thing about a thing.
Heinz Ketchup porn site?
And then there's more things.
Oh.
driving naked and eating pizza.
And then a woman screams.
Reaction to bigotry closes a restaurant.
And then there are funny things we tell kids.
Relentlessly gay yard lamps cause problems in a neighborhood. These and other things that I'm apparently walking on with Marnie right now. I almost...
This is going to be fun.
I almost text messaged you my list of headlines like, nah, we'll be fine.
No, honestly, I'm not sure about that. I took my Apple, my computer into Apple today. And so...
You get a lot of things in service right now.
So much is happening.
Good God.
Did Sharon touch everything? She is a saboteur on every...
I had a procedure last Friday. Stop touching people's things. Fixed.
Guilty by lesbian? Is that what it is?
It could be.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I have them, but I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. So am I? So I'm gonna continue on. God damn it! That was so fucking funny. I stumbled across that movie.
I loved that you saw that movie.
I just happened to see it. I wasn't gonna watch it. And then I watched the whole goddamn thing.
That's what you do.
You can't. Yeah.
So you there just I was. Cancel everything and say, okay, I'll be there in 90 minutes.
Yeah, in a recliner with and unfortunately, when you watch it on those channels, they do edit something like. Why did they flub it there? But still, overall, it's just such a wonderful fucking movie. Goolahy. My name was Goolahy. Where were you born? Goober? I was born in Goober.
That's a terrible wig. And she didn't have a lot of nice things to say about my wife's hair. Like, even the throwaway shit on the...
I got excited because it was almost over and then I forgot where the line was. And when the guy goes, it's the hell of a dance, sir.
Did you spit your drink out a little bit?
I did.
There's a lady in an evening gown.
Oh, God. It was a man overboard.
Kissing man overboard.
Hell of a day at sea,
we
sir.
We deployed the lifeboat.
God damn, I was laughing so hard. Movie.
And I used to stalk this guy at Safeway named Arturo. Okay. I found out his name after about 6 months of stalking him. I learned his name.
It was not Arturo.
And he worked the cold food section where your cheeses and eggs are. So I would always linger a little while he stalked things because he was so cute. And then the one day I just saw him down the aisle and I just thought it would be funny to yell it out because he wore headphones
so
while he was
like,
working.
Arturo!
And didn't some gay guy come up the aisle and go, okay, Katarina.
And I was like, no. Witty, I love it.
And I don't think he had any idea that I was, that the guy's name in the middle was Arturo. I think he just thought I was like enjoying an overboard moment in an empty grocery store aisle. He was on a completely different page, but like strangely on the same one.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah. But sometimes I stand good in front times. Of cheese and yell out Arturo.
Because why not?
Oh my God, that is... My cheeks hurt from smiling. That's so fucking funny. Oh, well, let's have a serious moment. Rivaled only by the garden gnomes and tiki torches of the world, pink flamingos are the lawn ornament of choice for homeowners seeking a vintage, kitschy, ironically tacky splash of summer Americana in their yard. Well, Donald Featherstone, creator of those wire-legged plastic birds, died yesterday at the age of 79. Featherstone studied art at Massachusetts Worcester Art Museum and went on to invent hundreds of products for plastic company Union Products, rising to the position of president of the company before his retirement back in 99. One of those products was, of course, the iconic pink flamingo, inspired in 1957 by a photo in National Geographic magazine. Featherstone's brainchild has endured controversy through the years. Once considered a tacky flamingo, it was later embraced first as a symbol of renegade misfits and deviants in a raunchy 1972 movie called Pink Flamingos, which I'm sure Al's seen. Oh. I've not seen.
Oh, it's the filthiest movie ever made.
Later, later in time, ever. The Fabulous Fowl found a home as pop art, inspiring Featherstone's 1990 book called The Original Pink Flamingos, parenthetically, Splendor on the Grass. Featherstone died at an elder care facility in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, after a long battle of Lewy body dementia, which I'm not exactly sure, but I guess that's probably not good.
I bet it's something.
Sounds
turns
bad.
It pink.
Something. It makes your one leg go up.
A little hue.
Stand a little weird.
You get a tail.
A wake is scheduled for Friday at a funeral mass. At a funeral mass is scheduled for Saturday at St. Joseph Church in Fitchburg. Incidentally, Featherstone died the same week as National Pink Day.
See?
There's a national
it
pink
was,
day.
Sure, there, a
sure there
as
is.
As there should be.
Well, every color.
Put one in the pink. It's today.
I'm sure there's a burnt sienna week. And then there's a Well, every week is White Week.
God intended, yeah, because Santa just says
white. Is white.
Okay.
I'm looking up National Burn Sienna Day.
So there is none. If you are brave, dear listeners and people sitting near me, watch Pink Flamingos. Just be prepared for how off the charts, ridiculously vulgar this movie is.
Oh, okay.
You're saying that.
Oh, my God. Like, I have sat through it in its entirety twice, and one of those times I was just repulsed, and the other time I just didn't know what I was seeing. Like, I was just like, huh? Really? Huh? And then the ending is one of the most...
I think I've just never been more confused.
It's John Waters. It's divine.
Okay.
They're trying to be the grossest. They're trying to be the most disgusting family.
Okay.
Is this when she eats dog shit?
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Oh, I understand now.
But that kind seriously,
of thing I can't handle. That's nothing.
That is minute 90 of 89 minutes of like, oh, yeah, there's actual fucking with a chicken. The chicken doesn't get fucked, but there's a sex scene that involves a chicken. The chicken stays intact.
Yeah, it says so at the end, I'm sure.
Yeah, this chicken
No chickens were actually harmed.
Right. Oh, it's an important disclaimer.
Well, that's startling.
All right.
So a woman honks and screams because a guy stopped at a yellow light. But what followed next is priceless. There was an honest man that was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman hit the roof and the horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up to see the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, and photographed. And then placed in a holding cell.
Thank God I heard printed.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was concerned.
Woo!
Nope.
She was delightfully fingered.
We're all right. There were no lawsuits that I'm aware of.
Different story. Different show. Different day.
Different story.
After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting for her with her personal effects. He said, "I'm so sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the What Would Jesus Do sticker, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car."
Oh.
That's beautiful.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Naturally.
I enjoyed that tremendously.
You don't seem like a bitch, but apparently you are.
Exactly.
All in the name of Jesus.
This can't possibly be
your vehicle.
Oh, God, no.
Is that a true story?
False presentation.
That is fantastic.
Isn't that great?
That is good. where was this?
This one I love it. Is...
fingered while pulled over. What state and county?
Them,
I'm moving.
I only saved this one. I will find
Brand's excited.
Brand wants to move everything.
Oh.
Fingered while pulled over. That's what I'm
saying. Brand's cute enough to get fingered randomly. He doesn't have to move.
I will get that for you.
I've seen photos.
That was
in the other one.
Good to know.
All fully clothed. That sounded wrong.
I miss what you said.
I really didn't make the mental leap to assume that they were nude photos.
Because I'm like, oh, that sounds wrong.
I will find out.
Nobody wants to
see. So apparently they wouldn't be unwelcome?
No, none at all.
Well, our dear friends over at Heinz Foods apologized to a German man who was directed to a hardcore porn site after scanning a QR code on a ketchup bottle, like you do. The man named Daniel Carell scanned a code thinking it would lead to a promotional site where he could design his own Heinz ketchup label. But as a result of a domain site expiration and the Heinz label design campaign ending back in 2014, that specific domain name was snatched up by a German porn site called Fundorado, which is why Carell's
Heinz in France.
Which is why Carell's QR code led him to thumbnails and sex videos.
Yes.
Carell notified
free streaming or
yeah,
like
exactly.
A pay-as-you-go? Like, what are we talking about?
Carell notified Heinz of the mishap on its Facebook page, writing that ketchup was probably, quote, probably not for minors, and criticizing the company for letting its domain expire after the contest was over. Heinz replied to his comment saying that, quote, "We really regret the event very much and we're happy to take your suggestions for how we implement future campaigns with our regards to websites.
We don't run the internet.
Yeah. Well, but they, and I think that's only fair that if your contest ended, you probably want to, you may want to keep that domain for a little while longer. But I was thinking,
Heinz and Frines.
But I was thinking to myself, how old is this ketchup bottle and why are you just now scanning the code? Is what I was thinking. I don't know how long.
Shit doesn't go bad. I don't, ketchup like a long
literally
time.
Lasts forever.
I don't know these
not
things.
Not literally forever. It will go bad, but it takes a it long real fucking time.
The company also said it would
well,
send.
Well, it's made from vinegar. So
no, but I mean, just nasty, like it just tastes
tomatoes,
like
vinegar, and sugar are literally the
and a lot of sugar, I think.
I mean, eventually I throw out ketchup bottles because you're always at the store like, do I have ketchup in my house?
Yeah.
So you buy a bottle of ketchup and then you walk up to the row of ketchup like you're your own ketchup store.
That's right.
So eventually you just thin the herd a little bit.
The Heinz company also said it would send Carell a bottle of ketchup with his own designed label. And not to be outdone, Funderotto then commented on the same thread offering a free year of porn to the same guy.
It's a win-win, really.
Win-win-win. Free ketchup, free porn, and free ketchup porn.
And you could actually interlace the two, depending on what you're into.
Hashtag ketchup porn.
You want to reenact something a little more violent in your fantasies? Right. Ketchup may prove handy.
There's that.
Ketchup porn.
Very good.
Just in case you go
again,
to
I maybe
party.
Shouldn't talk out loud anymore. That sounded awful.
So far, you're 2 for 2.
Yeah.
Martin.
What, full violence with the ketchup? Then? Yeah. I'll allow it.
Okay.
If you go to a party and you want to do something new.
Bring ketchup?
Well, you could. You certainly could.
No, there are certain soothing quantities in ketchup that people...
It's called sugar, dear.
Sugar, perhaps.
No, it's always on... what's that show that your girlfriend hates that I watch or I listen to?
Oh,
Prairie Home Companion. They always do commercials about the ketchup board.
Sorry, did you say Prairie Home Companion? Sorry.
I love that show.
He does.
I do. I get a kick out of it.
Well, you could take the ultimate party gift. That would be pills that make you poop rainbow glitter.
Oh. Okay. So, it's a sparkly time.
You could get that.
Why do I feel like we've done this story?
I don't know, because it's new.
All right.
Maybe not. Go on.
No, go ahead.
What's your thought?
Nope, go.
Nope, okay. Nope, yep.
Go.
Well, what do you get the good friend who loves to party and always covers herself in glitter? You get her the pills.
You get her the glitter.
Shit glitter as well. Well, in this messed up world that is the internet, you can now purchase rainbow glitter pills. In the item's description, it doesn't specify that you're supposed to eat the things, but the whole pill name does imply.
Because legally they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
It does imply a product intended for oral consumption. And the glitter is described as non-toxic. Deal with that information.
I think the name of the show is just going to be oral consumption.
Yeah.
I like it. Keep going.
You can also, just in case, you don't want the rainbow kind of thing going on. You can also purchase these rather festive little pills in gold glitter. Just in case, you know, everybody
gold
wants
shit.
To shit gold.
I like it.
I think it's called Goldschlager.
It could be.
Oh, yeah.
It could be.
Sure.
The Schlager.
You do have to drink a fair amount of that. What the fuck?
I mean, she got excited about shitter.
Oh, it's my shitter glitter. Back scratcher.
You just can't go wrong.
Oh, look at the party colors.
Yep.
Oh, Bobby, that's good. You got there on the little your glitter butt.
I got a green one. Oh,
wow.
That's great.
Can't Jesus. Wait to see that come out.
Oh, it's Christmas time, you know. It's God. Good. It's
I
real
think that's,
good.
It's kind of fun.
I think it'd be great.
Brightens up your can.
You got to say.
Yep. Color in the shitter.
Shitter's full of glitter.
Why is it so sparkly in this outhouse?
They I can't. I just physically can't.
Come on.
John Glitter.
Your porta potty's spectacular. What'd you do? A shit glitter.
I just spruced it up.
If you put the right lighting in there, it would just be like
It'd
a
be
little
fantastic.
Prism.
Disco.
Yeah.
A prism.
Just play Donna Summer and shit all day, and it'd be like sparkly.
God,
dim all the lights.
I think you found the only way I've ever heard to make a bad Donna Summer. Unappealing.
Right. Was there more to the story?
Somehow
it
does.
That's
hot,
it.
Out
I wanted everyone
glitter.
To know about it.
Then there was a Cottonelle reference or something.
Did you
sort
have
a,
something? Because you
come on, Kat.
You had that look on your face.
Come on,
since
Kat.
I said something.
Oh my God! There's links being posted in the chat room. What the hell are all this?
What's happening?
I'm not sure. I think I'm confused by how.
Which part?
By the lead-in, by the prologue here.
What
with
was
the,
it?
With the
that's
apparently
a nice word.
This is a gift.
Prologue.
You're welcome.
Correct use of the word.
You're welcome.
This gold pill makes you poop glitter.
I've been cooking that one up for 5 minutes.
I like it.
Have you really?
It's good. Yeah.
Whipping it up by
in
hand.
In the stink, yeah. I've been cooking that one up.
It's good.
I've been cooking that one up for a long time.
Prologue.
Sorry about the lead-in. It's a gift.
It really is. What do you get for somebody who's got everything else?
Well,
glitter shit.
Glittery shit.
My God.
My the brand. Just ate hot wings. No worries. Pop a glitter shit pill and have a party the next day. Because then you're having fireworks and glitter.
Oh, that is good times. That really
incredible
is.
Things. See? Nero has it. I'm telling you.
Now, you know how when you hug certain people who have that glitter? Because there's a.
I don't even know. Like, yeah.
Abort.
Like, there's glitter body lotion that people wear. And if you hug somebody, sometimes you'll get glitter on you. And people are like, what happened to you? You got glitter on you.
Right. How do you explain that?
This brings an entire new meaning.
Yeah. You just walk out of the bathroom and you got glitter all over you.
What happened to you?
Nope.
Do not go in there.
Or what do you do after you've taken the pill and you have gas? You don't know.
It's just a happy dust cloud.
You don't. Maybe it is. Maybe it is, but
like
you don't know.
Confetti kid.
Is Glinda here?
Yeah. You can't crop dust in that situation.
I think it would be. It'd be
well,
apparent.
You gotta. You'd have to crop dust commando for that. Well, yeah. Actually, just with nothing on because otherwise it would filter the glitter.
The air is going to escape. It's going to come out the bottom of your shorts.
Oh, that's a good point. Glitter would just leave a trail of glitter.
Yeah. A glitter trail. Oh, sweet Jesus, get us out of this.
Well, let's go.
Baby Jesus, help me out.
Let's go up to Bay Village, Ohio. A Bay Village woman and a Cleveland man were arrested in Westlake early Saturday morning after an unclothed, alcohol-fueled night behind the wheel. Police received a report of a naked male and female outside a car in a parking lot of a business on Bassett Road before 12:30 a.m. on Saturday. Well, when officers arrived, the pair were inside the car, driving on a lawn alongside the road. Well, the patrol officer stopped the car. The driver, Alexandria Maurer, is 24 years old, was still completely nude, eating a slice of pizza. And the passenger, Kenneth Gillespie, who's 33, also still undressed, was holding a beer can between his feet. Both were arrested and ordered to get dressed immediately. But the night didn't stop there. Maurer was arrested for an OVI, which is operating a vehicle while intoxicated, and refused a breath test. Now, she was released 2 hours later to a sober family member who came to claim her. Now, however, by 3 a.m., she was found wandering Bradley Road again with clothes on this time after arguing with her ride home and then subsequently jumping out of the car. I'm going to guess a tuck and roll.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Like you do.
She was arrested again for disorderly conduct while intoxicated. Now, in meantime, Gillespie, who was, from the earlier part of the story, was the passenger with the beer in his feet, who was also on probation for drug possession, he proceeded to urinate in the back of a police cruiser. Mm. He was then charged with disorderly conduct while intoxicated, open container, and public indecency. Now, he only had underwear and a sweatshirt with him. When he was arrested. So police gave him an old pair of jail uniform pants and jail shoes to wear home later that morning. At press time, there were no representation listed for either of the people.
But don't you want to party with them a little bit?
Oh, my God. But I just thought she's driving and she's eating pizza.
Atta girl.
Naked and eating pizza. What else do you need?
What else do you need?
Well,
right.
She's obviously very comfortable with herself.
Where's the downside there?
That's what I'm thinking.
She doesn't want to get sauce self-esteem. On her beautiful shirt.
No.
She had a caftan.
So she threw it in the trunk by the, you know, by
right.
She
did the only the logical thing to do.
Spillage on the caftan. Plus the fact that she's
spillage
eating the pizza.
Spillage on the caftan.
As she's eating the pizza, if she has to toot, no glitter would come
if
out.
If she had to
toot.
With
the fucking glitter.
We don't know that there was pepperoni on the pizza.
We don't know.
I gotta go.
You don't know.
I gotta go.
You don't know.
I just physically can't.
I don't know.
I don't feel like you're as much of a participant in this week's show as I want you to be.
The
I don't
shit
know why.
Glitter really.
That really?
Really got you?
Yeah.
I don't think it could.
It left
a
taste in my mouth.
Well,
it's gonna
could.
Be, that's going to be hard to come
could.
Back from.
Oh, you might need to floss
it's
for
be
a
really
good
hard
time.
To come back from.
There's that.
Okay.
I think you'll be all right.
Right, you got
but
time.
But I do like her. I like our last couple. They sound delightful.
Naked and pizza?
Yeah.
Sure.
Open can of beer betwixt your feet there.
Well, they're just prepared for any emergency.
Betwixt.
I appreciate that.
Whilst driving.
Well, there were some cute little things that I found about lies, and I thought about, you know, did your parents ever tell you lies like to
little white
like,
lies?
Well, things like
like
you
Easter
know,
Bunny and Santa.
Yeah, like not about Santa. You know, they tried to keep that. You know, hush hush.
Things like no, your sister actually loves you.
Yeah.
But no. No, things like this. Things like this.
Everything's going
to
be okay.
My mom's friend got tired right. of her kids eating the scallops when they went to restaurants, so she told them that the scallops were really dolphins' balls. Things like that. Oh, did they ever do anything like that? Fun things to make up?
What have they got against scallops, first of all? They're
dolphins.
They're light.
They want to keep the kids away from them.
Why?
So they could eat them.
So they could eat them. Stop eating the scallops, kid.
I once told...
stab a fork in their hand.
Very strict. I don't think veganism was a word that was in my vocabulary yet, but she was pretty strict on the vegetarian thing.
Right.
No, she couldn't have been vegan because she was eating fish. How do they feel about fish? Anyways, so
that's
we're...
That's a pest... Tarian. Thank you.
But she ate fish. No. Whatever was wrong with the rest of the food, she ate fish. So we were in like a Rubio's or a Baja Taco or something in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to order mahi-mahi. And just, I never thought it would go over. I'm like, oh, you know that's Hawaiian for dolphin. tears.
Lost her shit.
Like,
lost
she
her
lost
shit.
Her mind thinking she had spent her life
eating dolphins,
saving cows and consuming dolphins en masse. And it was, I've never felt so bad about like a joke that just did not land funny. It just landed incredibly mean. And we had to like talk to people and fish to convince her that that was just made up.
Right.
And again, Google wasn't around to be like, this is what mahi mahi looks like, not a dolphin.
Right.
Still don't know what it looks like, but it was the, it was.
How's that?
Funny later, but boy, did that one crash
not
and burn.
At the time.
It was right. almost a suicide in the middle of Rubio's.
I really want a lobster burrito right now. That sounds so good from Rubio's. Oh my gosh.
Just a few weeks away from a lobster.
Okay. Probably not as good as my Frito burrito.
Oh, God, but that's closer. Yeah, there's not a Rubio's at 40-something than Indian school.
No,
it's here.
That's far. That feels like far.
Yeah, it feels like far.
It is from right
as
now.
As soon as you cross over or under a freeway, that just feels far.
The 51 is the cutoff point from east to west. Was there more to that story, Marnie?
There were a bunch of different ones. I was using that as a buffer until I had found the story, because I'm not on my Apple, so
Do
we have a delay of game?
Well, we did, but I can.
Well, we'll do that after the crossover.
Perfect.
We're already
have it, so that's perfect.
We're already here.
Because I feel like we've wasted a couple stories on the beautiful drinking word I've come up with.
Oh, I love
it.
We haven't wasted any stories.
No, but they would have been appropriate.
Oh, I see.
That's why I'm kind of disappointed that I didn't introduce the drinking word earlier.
Got it.
Oh, I wish I had then. Well, we'll make up for it.
When we come back, I'd like a definition of what. What did you call those things that you? The dolphin
shit
balls?
Litter.
No,
scallops.
I want a definition of what those are when we come back, because I've often wondered. I don't really know what a scallop is. I really don't. But I don't really. I'm gonna yield to you guys for what those are.
I like it.
All right, kids, you've done it. You've wasted an hour already. 2 hours coming. Al is hopped up on cold medication and coffee, so we're not sure how this is all going to turn out. But stick with us to find out, because God, it'll be exciting for all of us, if not just for you. We'll be back right after this on Q-Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi, everybody. We are back. It's 1 minute after the hour. This is The Show on Q-Talk America. My name is Clayton McKee. I sit alongside our cast of Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. And things come up in life, and what that means is... Kat Carlson's going to step out and potentially not be with us for the rest of the show, but it's okay. We'll get
right.
You got
we'll
things to do.
Week.
It's all right.
Make some shit up.
Well, you'll be back, but Marnie won't. So we'll
shit
have...
on some other people. For
no, that's right. We can do it. Al can shit on just about everybody's story. Sorry, no big deal.
He's just coming up wrong.
Do us a solid and just update us when you can.
Please.
Would you please?
Yeah.
Cool deal. So everybody say wave to Kat Carlson. She's going somewhere here in the Valley of the Sun. Stay cool. And don't let Sharon touch anything electronic, because apparently that's the bigger problem.
Good God, no.
No, there's
I'm
that.
I'm going with the fact that something happened.
We're going to go with that. We're going to go with that. I'm going to do a couple things with this little, whatchamacallit, called my iTunes. Where's what I need? Disclaimer. I got all thrown off. Whoa, I got all thrown off with that. We're going to do it like, oh, it's all right. No worries. Bye, Kat.
Bye.
We love her. So, okay, it's called the disclaimer. It goes like this, and here we go. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. We'll go to the next one. Or I hit the wrong. I got all flustered. That's what happened. That's what happened.
And now a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our drinking phrase is strangely erotic.
Strangely erotic.
I'm a little concerned that you're hopped up on cold medications, and that's the one you came up with.
Oh, it came up yesterday again. Bear had something on his Facebook page about this cucumber thing that like squirted fluids, and he was I'm kind of quietly turned on by this, and I was like, strangely erotic.
Got it.
It's from an old story of a friend and I going to a party that had been canceled, and the owners of the house graciously like invited us in because we brought liquor and they had liquor. They just had canceled the party that they were throwing at the last minute, and it was these three like gay guys that were like, you know, manly and kind of hot, and they were like into like chasing each other around and like dunking each other in the pool and like horseplay, if you will. And at one point it just got drunker and everybody got a little bit more wasted, and all of a sudden they started like peeing on each other and like dunking each other in the pool naked, and it just Rob, Alok, and I were just sitting on the barbecue like, strangely erotic. Like, we were in no way participating, and they were not having a party, but I was like, well, but it's always a party at this house. Like, this is what goes on here. Like, where's this leading? But when you said the shit glitter, I didn't want to spoil it, but I was like,
strangely erotic.
Absolutely.
There is that. You had something else in regards to that, your story, Maureen?
Well, kind of. I thought that, because you guys... Did you pay attention at all? Because I don't know how you could miss the train wreck to Mr. Trump announcing.
Oh, yeah.
And his announcement that, you know, he thought he would just fuck everything up and try to run for president.
How many people did he insult in just exactly. that? Oh, and the other thing was, all of the people that were in that room... He hired. There was a casting call put out.
You had that on. That's right.
For people, his quote supporters were all paid $50 to be there for that fucking hour.
Exactly. Oh my God, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
It was so off-putting, but strangely erotic at the same time.
Strangely erotic. Very nice.
Like I couldn't turn away. I had to watch the entire thing and just to see like.
What
is
next?
There anything but white men that he's not going to insult during the course of this? It just went like country by. I mean, he started to just like call out countries and like, and here's what I think about you.
Yes,
like you've ruined all diplomatic relations to every country on the globe.
Even if you were to win the election on some crazy weird thing. Right. Nobody's going to talk to you because you've severed every tie we've got.
They're just going to shoot down the Air Force One as it like hits that country, because whoever's in charge will be like, oh, fuck him. Yeah.
I don't think he hit Cubans, did he?
Well,
that may be the only one he got.
He sewed up the Mexican vote by stating when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're bringing rapists.
Lots of problems.
He meant therapists, but he said,
and then like
the
some
rapist?
Of them are Arab. Or what was his next one? Like it just went. It was so far off the rails, and you just can't.
Amorosa.
Yeah, because he had this. What I had found was the 10 things that he said that were just so fucking ridiculous. Using his expertise in air conditioning to create a competent ISIS strategy, he said some of the candidates, they went in and didn't know their air conditioner didn't work and they sweated like dogs. And they didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have anybody there. How are they going to beat ISIS? I'm reading that verbatim.
Yeah.
What?
It makes it makes Sarah Palin look like a Rhodes Scholar.
It
like
does.
You're just like,
uh-huh. I read that one like three times and was like, what?
It was an SNL sketch starring the real person.
Yes.
Like, Like all SNL,
like
can't,
they could redo it using exact quotes and still get a laugh,
just like they did with Sarah Palin. Oh. Yes. Like they just changed her when she's all inflection like, a little bit.
So, yeah. So if you will, read that same line again that you just did.
He was using his expertise in air conditioning to create the strategy against ISIS. He said some of the candidates, they went in and didn't know the air conditioner didn't work and they sweated like dogs. And they didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have anybody there. How are they going to beat ISIS?
What? I'm not sure how much is cold medicine and how much of that is nonsense, but seriously, you could have...
Where in the that hell been in did
Swahili
that come from?
And I would have been more comprehending.
I know. Where you're like, what?
Okay, wow. Next.
Yeah. And then on how he would fix healthcare.gov, he stated, we have a $5 billion website. I have so many websites. I hire people. They do a website. Cost me $3.
You hire people, though.
Well, how is that getting my vote? Because I think you're a fucking moron.
Yeah. That means you pay people $3 to do a job.
Right. Wow. That means I don't want to work for you.
Right.
I buy domains for $15 a year. Right. I get that. But if he's building websites, he's got to pay people to build and do.
I don't think he knows. I don't think that he knows that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jesus
I think
Christ.
He's thinking more like magic elves.
So his diplomacy, I like elves. His diplomacy, he'd do well with China. When was the last time anybody saw us beating, let's say, China in a trade deal? Oh. They kill us. I beat China all the time. Next.
No, but because he sold sold an apartment to a Chinaman. He didn't say Chinaman, but to like a Chinese guy for $15 million. So I like China.
He can also get his shirts done for a nickel.
But didn't he say, like, when have we ever beat Japan? And everyone was like,
That wasn't... I did not save all of those things. I put...
There was one about Japan that was...
ten, and I thought, I'm just going to take that one that has...
Did he think somebody named Hiroshima was a real person?
Yeah.
Well, he probably hired him for $3 to do a website.
Could have.
On God making him to make jobs. He said, I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. Okay. On getting Mexicans to build a wall to keep themselves out of America. I will build a great wall. Nobody builds walls better than me.
Now,
believe me.
He's got a good point. The privacy fence in my backyard is fantastic.
See, there you go.
And the gentlemen that built it were high quality craftsmen that I'm going to assume came here without papers. And made it.
I just have a question about where is his demonstration wall? Yes.
Right, exactly.
Because I was like, I feel like there should be a link for me to go to see your beautiful...
What is your work?
Right, that he was like, nobody builds walls better than I do.
And he says, believe me.
May I have an example?
Yeah. Is there a flow chart that shows this?
Believe me, he says.
It was just his delivery of that line that I looked around the room like, is there a screen I should refer to?
Did somebody... Who wrote it? And that's what I like to... Because I'm thinking
God wrote it.
Well, he's going to be God the best...
And maybe the masons who God build walls. Been.
It could be.
The bricklayers.
The Duggars let him out of the house and dug in.
Well, and on top of it, he's going to build those walls that he builds better than anybody else, very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will make Mexico pay for that wall. Mark my words, he says. What? Come on, guy. And then they built a hotel. When I build a hotel, I have to pay interest. They don't have to pay interest because they took the oil when we left Iraq. I said we should have taken. So now ISIS has the oil. I can't. Like,
were we supposed to scoop it up?
No, but I have like the I read beach this of Malibu. At home.
Yeah.
And earlier this afternoon, and then I was reading this at home thinking, how can you can't put a spin on this.
No.
I mean, that's just how fucking dumb it is.
That's what he just said.
And then
it said.
Just kind of goes to something else. Like, that's right. So now ISIS has the oil.
And you knew something was up when he said something so... And I really feel like it was the when have we ever beat Japan thing. But something got this cheer from the crowd that I was like, oh, that's canned. That's canned. Like, that's like...
Well, they're paid.
No, but that's what I mean. But that's what made me think something was up because it was like a laugh track. Like, he said something so absurd
and
got this like, yeah! And I'm like, No.
No. That many people can be that stupid.
Right, right, exactly. Like, you can't get a room full of people that stupid, right. But you can pay people to be that stupid. Sure. That
I bet
he
only paid them all $3.
No, 50.
The whole...
50 bucks.
I read the casting call. $50.
Yeah, but split all the... In between all of them.
500 people, $50 total.
And didn't it say something fun? Like, there's all different kinds of acting. Here's one. Like...
Oh, I don't recall that, but you're probably correct.
The call sheet had something funny, like, I know you think this is beneath you, but $50 is $50. The 20's right. On the dresser. It was strangely erotic. I can't even say it.
Well done. On politicians using the moon to distract people, he says, I watch the speeches of these people, and they say the sun will rise. The moon will set. All sorts of wonderful things will happen. And people are saying, what is going on? I just want a job.
Wow. Now, what...
yeah, I mean...
What ticket is he attempting to run on? GOP?
The land of Fucktardia is he is going to be... Forgive me, Aaron, but I mean, for real.
But I didn't know... I mean, is he running independent? Is he running GOP?
No,
he
is. Okay.
He's one of the Republicans.
37 people are currently...
He's polling, like, number two in... Are you ready for this one? Brace yourself.
What?
New Hampshire. Like, what? Not crazy town. New Hampshire. Well, I mean, granted, it's
he must have leases on all their properties.
There's not a lot of GOP in New Hampshire. They're
right. So the four people who are GOP in New Hampshire are
10% of them.
Yes. Here you go. I found your Japan thing. I'll get that one. The last two on free trade. Free trade is terrible. Free trade can be wonderful if you have smart people, but we have stupid people. That's a good way to get a vote, I think, here.
Yeah, so now we just insulted us.
Yeah. But we have stupid people.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
On why we need a president who wrote Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, we need a leader that wrote The Art of the Deal. That's what he said, quote.
Because it was unquote. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And then he, like, told you how long it was number one. Like, so?
Thank you for that little bit of trivia.
No.
When did we beat Japan at anything, Trump said. They send their cars over by the millions. And what do? When was the last time you saw a Chevrolet in Tokyo? It doesn't exist, folks. They beat us all the time, is what he said.
But he started off
saying, Japan doesn't exist, basically. That was what
I love. When did we ever beat Japan at anything? Like, war?
I'm going to go back to 1944 or 5. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we got a surprise from them. But
yeah.
And here's the thing. Literally, it's not true. Chevy sells cars in Japan in four models. Sonic, Captiva, Camaro, and Corvette. So they're there.
Yeah, no, they...
Donald.
Yeah, some of them love America.
You can't apply, like, fact-checking.
Well, and the thing is, Donald
But don't you
Trump
want him and Sarah
not...
Palin to just merge into one...
And not have children.
...winking imbecile? Well, I think her time has passed.
But wouldn't that be fun to have a president and vice president ticket with Trump Palin?
Dumb and Dumber.
Just to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
That would just be fun. And my God, John Stewart couldn't retire. He just would stay.
He could not.
It'd be too tempting.
Right.
It's like candy and a baby.
In fact, I think Colbert would come back.
he is coming back.
No, but different. He'd come back as Colbert.
Cher said, Donald Trump's ego is so inflated, he might as well be the Hindenburg. In dictionary, next to obnoxious asshole, see photo of the Donald. That's what she tweeted out.
Oh, Cher was, Cher was hysterical.
Yeah, she was very funny. She's like, I'd rather stick needles in my eye than vote for that. Him and Ted Cruz. Like somebody said, if you had to vote. She goes, I'd rather stick needles
in my eye. I'm just astounded by how many fucking people
are
on the...
It's like a choice between a migraine and throwing up.
15. That's what it was.
It was a choice between throwing up and a migraine. That's what Cher said.
That's
what Cher said. That's the money, too.
What is the phrase? I'm totally going to fuck this up. When you're cutting the stock from the chaff, or what is that, the old phrase?
The chaff from the wheat.
When does this get cleared out? Because there's 37 people on the GOP ticket right now.
Well, what happens is that when they get time for the debates, and I think the first one is in August.
Which will be fun, just to watch that shit show. I will sit in front of my, and I'll just watch it.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's in trouble now because they're saying that they will take the top 10, because you can't have 90 million people on the stage.
Right.
So the people that are polling in the top 10%, or the top 10 highest polling people will be on the stage for the GOP debates. And what they said was like Gina Florio, someone we
know. Wow, really?
I was like, when did she throw her
I've been working
ring?
With her all week.
What's Christy, what the fuck's her name? The lady that's running for president.
Oh,
not Hillary, obviously. You're talking about GOP.
I have not paid attention. No.
Yeah, and I can't think of her name. But that she probably won't make it on the stage because of...
She's because awful. Of Trump. The one with the one who...
Chrissy Fiorina?
She got fired from...
Oh, yeah, from web pages. Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Packard,
okay.
Something. She's not worth remembering. But the thing is she's a more serious candidate. She's ridiculous, but she's a more serious candidate. And she's not currently not polling in the top 10. And she was like number 10, and then Trump bumped her off. So now their only serious woman running is not going to be on the stage because of him. And he is polling like... number two in New Hampshire, he was like...
crazy.
And then when you get to the crazy states, which we have a list of shit going on in the crazy states, when you get to them, he's polling really well, so he'll be on the stage. And he's the funny thing that he's doing, and I don't know what the personal beef is between them, but he's going hard after Jeb Bush.
Okay.
Like, you know, he's on Obama, on Hillary, but then of the GOP crowd, he's just... Carly Fiorina, that's her name. He's just going apeshit on Jeb Bush. And what everyone is saying is, like, they can't wait for the first debate, because if you've ever watched him take an insult from somebody, he can't do it.
No.
So the first time they fact check him or call him an idiot on that stage, it's going to be a delight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be
strangely erotic. Yeah, it is.
So, that was good.
Unlike Donald Trump, who is not.
Oh, no. I wouldn't fuck him with your dick. Are you kidding me?
In a drawer at home.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron from LA, for putting the link to the $3 Chevrolet website from Japan. I'm on it now, and their cars I recognize, but there's only four of them.
I want to test drive a
new Camaro, though. I really would like to, because I used to own a Trans Am.
You know, those Camaros look like the Batmobile, and I get a little
erotic.
And I'm not even being like ironic on that one. Like, I get a little stiff in the pants when that goes by in black, because I think it's the Batmobile. That's a sexy fucking car.
Yeah, there's a couple that I've seen that I'm like, those are most of them. Obviously, I understand economic issues. Some people, they just buy the regular base model six cylinder with the alloy wheels. I'm like, yeah, I don't give a shit. But you see somebody come by with nice factory rims and a good paint job.
Oh,
and
it's the gunmetal. Like, when it comes by, that gunmetal.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, there's a really hot guy that goes to Charlie's who drives one that has really nice rims, and it's a
strangely erotic rimming.
It's red and his skin tone against that red car looks really, really nice to me. It's not strangely erotic. It just is.
I'm not at all confused by my eroticism. No! I must admit. Yeah, there's a hot guy. I don't even know if he's hot, and I've never been attracted to a car before. But there's a guy in the parking lot.
Mechanophile, we've talked about this.
There's a guy that parks in the same lot as I sometimes am lucky enough to park in. And he gets in this Camaro and he drives away. And I'm like, ooh.
Ah.
I'm like, oh.
Maybe you should have yourself a Camaro.
Oh.
Alfie.
Can you imagine?
They're too low.
It is. I don't think it's any different than what you're driving.
No, but I mean, that I don't like those kind of cars. Because you can feel the road. Like, they're made to...
Well, right. They're a performance car.
Mama's an American luxury. You know what I mean? Oh. Like,
you want a sedan DeVille that you can't feel any... You drove over four dead bodies. You didn't feel a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was still performing the circumcision in the back. Yes. Remember that?
From the Jew that sold you the car.
Yeah. Remember? Do you guys remember that commercial from SNL?
No.
Where the Ford... It was a Ford something or other. The ride was so smooth that the moil is able to do the circumcision in the back.
Wow.
It was one of the funniest. It was from the 70s.
No, Google, I
somebody's
don't.
Got to Google.
I don't recall that.
SNL Ford circumcision commercials. Like I think it was like the Ford LTD was so smooth a ride that you could circumcise a child in the back seat. And it was one of the funniest fucking things from my childhood.
I recall that. That's
strangely erotic. I can't.
Strangely erotic, yes.
Oh, there we go. Now I can.
I hope Bear shows up, because that really was.
He turns in early because of work now, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, but that,
sometimes he's able to.
That dirty fucking thing. Find Bear Walker's page on. Is it Ken Bear Walker?
He's funny, yeah.
Kent. Kent.
Oh my god, that fucking thing with that squirting cucumber or whatever it is.
I'll have to look that up.
It's just fucking funny.
I'll have to look it up. I don't.
It's good stuff. Fine, sir.
Yes, I mean, typing Kent.
Oh, I know Aaron's, but Aaron's not been well. He said something about seeing doctors too.
Yeah, he's tired of seeing doctors.
Yeah.
I did see
but
that.
But hey, there's nothing wrong with
a little frustrated.
Try some self-medication.
Yeah, he said that he had something on about just, you know, the week being kind of blah, and I get that. Like, he's just like, fuck it.
Oh,
I am ready for my entertainment section due to the fact that I've been in, you know, couch ridden.
Yes.
I'd say bedridden, but I wasn't in that room. Doesn't have a TV.
In house arrest, yeah. Almost. Yes.
I saw a movie.
We've talked a few times about the various people who, different businesses that chose not to support, not to do cakes for gay weddings, mm-hmm. not to lease out space or rent space for gay weddings, photography, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, the owners of an Iowa gallery restaurant who were sued for refusing to host a same-sex wedding now say that they have to close their doors to their establishment entirely. Richard and Betty Odgard say that they will close what is named Gort's House Gallery in Grimes, Iowa, by the end of August by saying, we can't pretend it's going to get better. Betty, who's 63 years old, who owns it, there just isn't enough business. Back in 2013, the Odgards, who are Mennonites, told a gay couple from Des Moines that they couldn't rent the venue for them to have their perfectly legal wedding in their space. So the couple then filed a discrimination complaint against the Iowa Civil Rights Commission, with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission. The Odgards denied that they were discriminating, but agreed to a $5,000 settlement at the time. They also stopped taking wedding reservations altogether, fearing another lawsuit would come. Now, Richard says that without the money the weddings brought in, Gort's House just simply cannot survive. But it seems that that's not what really killed the business. After local newspapers reported on the case, the couples all over the place who had weddings booked began canceling their weddings at the gallery. According to local papers, the Gort's House became known as the business that refuses to serve the gays. So it wasn't the government or the cost of the fine that shut them down. It was the public's reaction to their bigotry and maybe the issue with them not updating their Facebook after 3 years and still claiming to not have gay weddings. The Mennonite Church is split on the issue of homosexuality, actually, with some congregations ordaining gays and lesbians.
Some just ordaining gays.
Still, we're sure that after all said and done, the Christian right will paint the Odgards as victims in this entire thing. In fact, the couple is using the incident to start their own ministry, one that promises to promote religious intolerance, I'm sure. But they opened the Gort's House back in 2002. It was a Lutheran church for more than a quarter of a century before being converted into a space they can rent. Betty and Richard received nonprofit status earlier than expected for their ministry, which, according to The Signal, which is a newspaper, they took this as a sign from God. And, well, of course they would do that, wouldn't they? But, yeah, they failed because I like that. I like it only from the standpoint of everybody else who already had shit booked bailed because, like, you're the bigoted
right.
hall to rent. So we're not going to book with you. We're going to go somewhere else because you're the – it's not that you – you're the bigots. You're the people that we don't want to deal with.
Right.
It wasn't the fine. It wasn't anything else.
Right. You wanted to be right, and that's why I say like
the gays
like the open
didn't
to
do
business
it.
For everyone. Right. Just put up there like we don't serve this, and then let capitalism. Maybe you'll get those people that
survival
like,
of the fittest.
Yeah,
basically.
People will be like, oh my god, I can't wait to have a wedding that excludes homosexuals. But then the rest of people are going to be like, oh, I mean, like I have friends I have to invite to this wedding. I don't want them going there.
Right.
Like
right.
they're going to like. The real world, and that's why I love it. Let capitalism take over. Like, say what you got to say, and then, you know, they're going to get a – Megyn Kelly's going to interview them, and, you know, it'll be a plot.
Oh, of course it will.
Sure, of course.
She throws softballs at them.
Oh,
but I love that when it's capitalism
Megyn
that
Kelly.
Takes
Santa
over.
Santa just is white.
Yes, of course, yes.
Strangely erotic.
Santa just is white.
I
love that.
I have to tell you.
The fact that that child had autism, and wasn't that New Mexico where that happened? The story that she was talking about. With,
oh, I don't recall that.
Santa, it was like a child that had autism, and he was a black child that was there, and here she goes, and the teacher went on and on about the Santa being white. And
oh, this
blah,
was this oh, yeah, because there's two different stories. I forgot she did it twice.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
I just know the first.
It's two
That's
different
the
stories.
Only one I know.
They
one
were just
is about
debating
the article.
About Santa.
The one was the article where they wanted Santa to become a penguin. No, they really did, which is ridiculous.
That
it was
sounds
kind of
like
funny.
It's on cold medication, Don, think, but it's real.
I think it's on Donald Trump's list of stupid shit that he said.
Santa's a penguin. No, that's not cold medicine related.
It sounded like, I mean, you forget.
So, but then she has the other one about, because that's where she like yells at the lady, like, Jesus is white.
Oh,
and he's
right.
a historical
yes,
figure.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking about an article that was written that this woman was saying as a child she felt kind of excluded because... And it had to do with, they don't read the whole story because it's Fox News. They just tell you what they want. But it was because other kids' fathers dressed up as Santa. So her father couldn't dress up as Santa. So she felt kind of left out. Like,
oh.
Santa should look like your dad in a red, you know, not every father does it, but people dress up as Santa. You know, I saw mom, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. So it was a really deep issue. But then she has, like, does a follow-up story, and that's where she just loses her mind. The follow-up story, I think it was like a night later, where she's just like, everybody's white. Like, stop. Like, she, because I just to cheer myself
Santa
up.
Just is white. Yeah.
last night or the night
it's
before.
Strangely not erotic.
Yeah, no. But I was just looking for things that make me laugh. So I actually Googled that and watched the segment where she, like, loses her mind on the panelists. And it was just, it's fantastic.
I read a story today in regards to her that she's now saying that she's going to be the next Oprah. Because in the interview, it was because, you know, all the major anchors have left. Oprah has gone to her own network. She's not on TV every day. I'm like on her regular big show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Diane Sawyer is no longer an anchor. She gave that up. So there are fewer and fewer strong female roles in the media. And now that she's there, she thinks that she's going to be the next coming.
That interview.
Oh my God. She's
that
nuts.
Interview is just a hand job.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I agree. She thinks her ego's
huge.
Talk
about her not asking tough questions. Yeah. Boy, did they return? Did they reciprocate in 69er right. on that one? Like, yeah.
We're going to softball you with all
John
this. What
Stewart
do you think?
John Stewart made me cry. I can't watch John Stewart anymore.
Because he's right?
Because he's telling the truth, right?
Because he's white.
Oh, my God.
He's Jewish.
John Stewart just is Jewish.
You will be happy to know. Something happened crazy last weekend with my cable, and I think it was one of those things where they're giving you a free preview of
HBO.
Yeah,
HBO was free. Yeah.
Well, I stumbled upon your dear friend.
John Oliver?
Nope, the other one.
Bill Maher.
Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched him with that cunt next to him, the blonde one.
Oh, yes.
Ann Coulter. Don't say it more times she shows up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then he went off. Oh, on. Yeah. I almost made the phone call and just booked for HBO. I'm like, we're done. Yeah. Like, if I can watch that, that's all I need.
I told you, there's a lot going on there, and I feel like you're going
to
attack me.
I'm not, but I can reach out to you. I can reach out to you.
Tickle. Strangely erotic. Please use this in your everyday life, because it really does come in handy.
Yeah,
but oh my God, that was so
that's
wonderful.
That's the reason that anytime you think a show goes off the air, you're like, all right, I don't need HBO anymore. But you come back to Real Time with Bill Maher. I think they're in their 14th, 15th, 17th season.
Fantastic.
But when he was on Comedy Central before he was on ABC.
And they're unedited. I like he can say whatever the fuck he wants on HBO. That's the
best.
It's
not TV, it's HBO.
Right, yeah. There it is.
There we go. We got the Kool-Aid in Clayton's mouth.
I like that.
But now I got to swallow.
Now you have Apple products. It's strange. Now you can get HBO Now. You
don't have things.
You don't even have to spend a lot of money.
These things.
I am.
And the best thing is
right.
HBO.
Well, hello, India. Oh, you're already. We already knew that. I'm sorry.
So, and Cunter, proper spelling, please. Exactly.
Oh my God! It was when he was shutting her down about the fictitious thing that she believed in. I was like, on point.
And then the black lady went after her, and then the Hispanic guy went after her, and then the Republican was like,
laughs. And
please don't make her my only team member. Like, why are you aligning me with her?
Right. Well, and she really is. Like, she's just
she's just evil.
She's fucking horrible. But she sits there and laughs. She's the bully on the playground.
Yeah,
who just thinks, look at what I've created.
Yeah,
like look at look at this. But the problem is she doesn't realize like how.
Every inch of her being is just horrific.
She really
is. And now,
she's awful.
Now you need to, because it's a lot of fun to do, and the Wilk didn't know for years that this was available. Now it's on YouTube, so you don't even need HBO to do it. Go to Bill Maher's channel, and you can watch Overtime.
Oh.
Where they
is that only
there.
Available on YouTube?
They just moved it to YouTube. Okay. They got it off HBO Go, and now it's a YouTube channel. So you just, the panelists take questions that people have written in over the course of the course of the show,
okay.
And they ask them things specific. So now they have a chance to not stick with his format. They usually go 8 or 9 minutes; they're not very long. But boy, do they get really, really interesting in the overtime. And
I haven't watched that. I'll have to.
And for every episode that's ever been on, there's been, well, I don't know if every episode, I think they started about 5 years ago, but it's been years of like, and I just wait for that, like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what they do on Overtime. It's kind of like our bonus. Actually, that's what we talked about with the bonus hour.
We used
like,
to do hour three.
Hour
and now
three.
We just, right.
That was our inspiration. Well, that we couldn't shut up.
There's that.
Yeah, do with that what you will.
I just was astounded with that. And then somebody else... Oh, wait. I had a point with the Bill Maher and Coulter and something else. I just completely lost it. But anyway, I I was like, okay, if I can watch this and just watch them, watch them throw them in the water. If you can swim, okay, but you can't because nothing that you're gibbering to the table floats. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, he has his downsides. Like religion is always bad. There's no middle ground on that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in the flu vaccine. So there's stuff that he and I like completely disagree on. Right.
And his haircut.
That's an aging man just doing.
Oh, I know what I was going to tell you.
That looks like a mullet.
I was.
It is.
Yeah, it's awful.
But he had a mullet back in the day. So.
Somebody that I worked with years ago when I worked corporate, worked with funny guy. I enjoyed him, his wife, his family. Great, great person. And then I recently found him on Facebook and we became Facebook friends. I have not seen him in many, many years. And I made a Facebook post in regards to Fox News.
Yeah.
About how crazy, batshit, what the fuck is this? And several people had commented going along with what I was saying. And he said, the comment came up and it's like, well, at least they report this shit that other stations don't. Or something to that effect. And I was like, I never thought you were missing the boat. I would have never thought he was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And it almost makes you want to unfriend him.
The elite media, And they're like, oh, the elite media is doing this. I'm like, you're the number one network. Like, how are you not the elite network?
You have to understand, like, I get everything that you're saying. And I, when it comes to Fox News, I'm just like, oh, like it feels like.
Oh, I know what it was.
But my best friend watches that. I mean, like. Seidel.
I don't get it.
I don't either, but that's where she's sitting there. And I'm not joking. When I'm at her house, I have CNN on or some other news. And she has
It's the TMZ of news. Oh, they're just looking for hype. That's all they're looking
for. And actually with TMZ, what they report is...
I enjoy TMZ, actually. Well, so does my mom.
They like actually take the pictures and interact with people. But Fox News just kind of says, what should we... spin today.
And then they call it the no spin zone. Just kills me.
And then what they add is the word is, could it be? And then they just run with that.
People are saying,
right. Who are these fucking people?
Right.
I don't get it. No, that's very, very frustrating. So anyway, I think I may have to actually spend the $10 a month and subscribe to the Bill Maher's.
Yeah. Sure. And his show has been, we've talked about this a lot, the Comedy Central, we got it. We were one of the last places in the country to get Comedy Central. Like, our local cable companies didn't pick it up till after AbFab had ended. And
oh, sure.
So we were the last ones to get Bill Maher politically incorrect. Before it went to ABC, it was a Comedy Central show. Like, I've been watching this guy for decades. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. And that was a little less structured than it is now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of like with Larry Wilmore. What's his name on The Nightly Show?
Oh, that took over that show?
That took over for where he just has the table of people talking about events. And it was always really, really interesting to watch. And then, he got in trouble for what he said about 9/11. He got fired from ABC, as he says he's the only person that got fired from their job over terrorist attacks. And he ended up on HBO, and it was like such a beautiful fit. Except for they lost that format. They went a different way with the format where he does one guest and... Mm. But Politically Incorrect was just a G. And you can find old episodes. Just pick someone. He brought, what's the witch? I'm not a witch.
Oh, from, not Maryland.
Yeah, Delaware.
Delaware.
Oh, she was running for office.
Yeah. He's hers. She used to be a panelist on Politically Incorrect all the time. Christine O'Donnell, right?
Christine O'Donnell, yes. O'Donnell.
I had and O'Donnell that's where, and I thought, no,
so
that's
so when she started to run, all they did was go back and just get her off Politically Correct. And that's why that's where she said she was a witch. That's where, like, all her things about birth control.
Oh.
Like, they didn't have, nobody,
and
she ran against
that
herself.
Shit over and over.
She ran against herself.
Oh, yeah. Like, ran around that table and,
And so he kept saying, he's like, I will play a clip of you from my old show, which everybody was doing. Everybody knew where she was from. He said, I will play a clip from our old show until you show up and do an interview with me. He's like, it's not really holding you hostage. It's on, like, he's like, YouTube exists. Anybody can find
this. You said it.
Yeah. He's like, but I'm going to play the clips where she said she was a witch and she said, you know, oh my God, she was a delight.
Oh.
And that was the biggest.
Good fodder, that
like,
one.
Oh God, she made it through the primaries without getting on the radar. And then when she unexpectedly won, everybody was like, wait till you see what we got on this lady. She's been on TV for years.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
She didn't think that stuff would haunt her.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't realize
she was erotic.
She was strangely erotic. That's
That was absolutely the best part of the 2010, I think it was the 2010 elections, was just watching Bill Maher just go after her. And she never showed up.
That's
so he was
funny.
Like, I'm just going to keep playing them till you show up. But everybody was playing them. Like, everyone.
How could you not?
And then she had that commercial. I'm not a witch.
I'm not a witch.
I'm you.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, woo! That's creepy.
I smell children.
Yeah, I know.
Children.
Exactly. It came up so chitty chitty bang.
All of a sudden, Defying Gravity plays in the background. Oh,
it was fantastic.
Before we go into our next story, reminder:
Santa just is white.
Yeah.
There we go. Good Marnie, is it you or me?
It's me.
All right.
An anonymous letter.
I want Megyn Kelly to go on the air and say that we made her cry.
Oh, should we send Megyn Kelly a letter?
We can probably get that.
She's going to cry. There was did you guys hear about the anonymous letter that was calling someone's yard relentlessly gay?
I thought we covered this last week.
I don't think we did.
No.
We didn't. But that's, yes, go.
Did you have that? Or?
I do, but go ahead.
Okay.
I'll add to whatever you get.
Yeah, I love it. This woman raised $28,000, so she could even be more relentless.
Oh, it's higher than that.
Is it now?
$43,000.
Oh my God, awesome.
But the point of it was just to be colorful, right? Like, she isn't gay or had no intention.
That's what I got. Yep. She has they pointed out, like, she's the mother of four. Well, a gay woman can be the mother of four as well. But
yeah.
Apparently, no. She's not. This anonymous letter made it abundantly clear that what he or she thought, I love that her name is Julie Baker because I made her Julia Sugarbaker in my mind, like, so fast, about her, these yard decorations. And they're very pretty. They're like little mason jars that are all different colors. She got them for $1. She just thought they'd be pretty. And she said, you know, anyone who knows me for 10 seconds knows I just love rainbows.
Right.
And not only that, but all of those yard lights are in a rainbow. Like, I've never seen strung yard lights that weren't...
I'm gonna shit on your story for a minute. Yeah. I'm just going to read what I have, and then we can chime in about it. A single mom in suburban Baltimore who received a threatening anonymous letter from a neighbor criticizing her yard for becoming, quote, relentlessly gay, said that she's awestruck at the incredible public response from an online fundraiser that she set up. In just 5 days, the GoFundMe campaign started by Julie Baker of Overlay, Maryland, has raised more than $43,000.
That is crazy.
The fundraiser titled Relentlessly Gay features her own rainbow heart tattoo on her arm and asks for help, in her words, to make my home even more relentlessly gay. If we go high enough, I will see if I can get a rainbow roof on my house.
Yes.
Now, on Sunday, Baker posted a new message expressing her gratitude to the more than 3,300 strangers who have donated after reading her story, saying in part, quote, I am so full of gratitude, not only for the enormous gift that you have bestowed upon me, but for all the kindness you have chosen to take up and hold as a banner of hope. Last week, Baker said that she was surprised to find a note rolled up and stuck in the handle of her front door of her home, and the note read, Dear Resident, your yard is becoming relentlessly gay. Myself and others in the neighborhood ask that you tone it down. This is a Christian area and that there are children. Keep it up and I'll be forced to call the police on you. Your kind need to have respect for God. And God was in all caps. Because that's what you do.
Of course you do.
Signed, a concerned homeowner. Now, aside from coining the fabulous phrase, relentlessly gay, clearly someone has no clue that a string of rainbow-themed solar yard lamps is not illegal, and really not especially gay. What exactly are children in this fine Christian neighborhood being exposed to when they see them? Pretty colors? Well, yeah, I guess so. Does this concerned homeowner think that the gays indoctrinate children this way with solar-powered rainbow lights? And exactly what do I think will happen if she carries out her threat by calling the cops? The note referred to a set of rainbow-colored jar solar lamps Baker has strung up in her yard. The lights spell out love and ohana, ohana being the Hawaiian word for family. Mm-hmm. She told Baltimore City Paper that they were not particularly meant to be a statement about LGBT rights, but she's perfectly content if that the impression they leave is that. The point of the rainbows isn't about being gay, she explained to the newspaper. It's because we as a family love rainbows. I have a rainbow tattoo on my arm. And we're going to decorate the white side of our house with them if we can.
And my thought was, because Aaron is asking if anyone thought she made up the relentlessly gay thing. I was wondering if this was more like she, unmarried, four kids, if this person thought she just thought she was gay.
Right, because that's what I
thought. And then made the leap with the rainbows. Like, just
could do that. Now, sure. Baker, a 47-year-old widow and single mother of four children, said that she does identify as bisexual, but isn't sure exactly what relentlessly gay means, but it quickly became a Facebook meme after she went public with at the urging of her own 17-year-old daughter. Now, her original $5,000 goal was set to collect enough money to paint one side of her house in rainbows, and she said if she raised more, she promised to consider also painting rainbows on her roof because, quote, my invisibly relentless gay rainbow dragon should live up there in style. She added that she wants to show her children to not relent to hatred, but to battle it with whimsy and beauty, laughter, and love. Baker told the city paper last week that her home had been targeted before by hate, including one incident several years ago when she and her late husband turned down an invitation to attend church services. A statement from Baker said, quote, put simply, I am a widow of the mother of four children. My youngest is in high school, and I will not relent to hatred. Instead, I will battle with whimsy and beauty, laughter and love wrapped around my home, yard, and family.
See, and I think that has something to do with that, like the... They've been after her already. This neighborhood is kind of like not feeling her.
So right now,
and just think the rain, like, because people now are paranoid about the rainbow.
They associate it. So, absolutely.
So right now they're at $43,426, and I'm going to put a link in the chat room so you can go look if you want to donate. By all means, go ahead and do it.
That's a little much for lawn decorations.
Well, and you know,
give that money to the Trevor Project.
And it wasn't, yes, absolutely.
Bye, Nero.
Night,
thank
Nero.
You.
Good night. Good morning, actually. Good morning for Nero.
Sure. I guess it's good night here.
You know, but talking about anti-bullying programs and this and perhaps contributing to that, I agree. Lawn ornaments, things becoming kind of crazy with it. I like the. The story behind it.
I
like,
do too.
You know,
she's a widowed mother of four. I think she's not going to spend $43,000 on redoing her yard and her house. Right. But that establishes that those kids will be taken care of. She's fine.
Sure.
And if indeed she chooses to move out of the neighborhood, she can. But
I just hope she gets a flamingo.
Right.
Because it's not really a gay lawn.
With like a.
Until there's a flamingo in your garden. You know?
So
strangely
with like
erotic
a
flamingo.
A rainbow scarf around the flamingo.
So saying that, Mr. Perkins.
There you go.
Strangely
erotic.
If I get two flamingos and I put them in my yard.
Oh.
You just got gay.
I don't want a word from you.
It would be Alan Clayton.
I don't want a word from
sitting
you.
Sitting out in the front yard.
You can't say a fucking thing.
I do not endorse the flamingos.
Well, you said.
I know. I'm just saying that they're gay. I didn't say they were good. I just said they were. Tacky gay flamingos. I remember.
Well, there you have it.
Many gay things that appeared in my life.
It's not like
time.
Sylvester, the singer, not the cat.
Yeah,
is going to be singing.
What I thought,
you make me feel.
Might just as well be. That's how gay flamingos are.
You need to put a small speaker in between the two flamingos. Oh, playing
Sylvester.
Oh yeah.
My
Sylvester.
Whenever people walk by or a car goes by,
it'd be motion detection sent. Oh,
that's funny. All right, now I'm back on board.
I like it.
If the flamingos have motion sensors that play Sylvester, we've got a sense of irony back.
Good.
But so all these things that people would be into that were gay, that I, you know, every time I would stumble across something and I'd be like Art Deco, love it, get it. Mm-hmm. Air Tape prints, get it, on board. And then I would like be in someone's bathroom and like their shower curtain would be flamingos and be little ceramic flamingos everywhere. And I'm like, what in the gay hell is this? Like, how did we wake up in this?
Why were you at Pookie's house?
Fucking nightmare.
Right. When did Miami Vice throw up on everything?
Right.
Like, okay, were the gays just like, were they in a bad neighborhood and they decided to adopt this thing? Like, what the fuck? Right. Always bothered me. But then, fast forward a couple minutes, the Flamingo Hilton in Las Vegas.
Ooh.
And if you go in you can't go in the back anymore. I think they got rid of the Flamingo Hilton.
You can't, yeah.
But the gardens back there are filled with flamingos. And they're actually...
Real live flamingos?
Real live flamingos. And they're actually very beautiful birds.
Oh.
I had never seen them.
Oh.
Until at the Flamingo Hilton. And I'm pretty
sure... Aside from the lawn ornament.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, I had only seen their representatives.
Absolutely.
And kind of like the Roadrunner is not the beautiful creature as portrayed by, you know, Wile E. Coyote.
Right, right.
No. Very different.
Right.
These are not cheesy, tacky, horrible creatures like the things in your yard or those ceramic figurines that you need to go and step on immediately. I'll wait. I was unprepared for how beautiful flamingos are. And I'm like, well, now I get the gays liking them. I just don't get why we can't get a halfway decent representation. Or just buy some fucking flamingos.
Right.
Pour some water in your backyard and pretend it's Florida.
That could,
probably illegal.
Absolutely. What was his name?
Who?
The guy who died.
Oh.
Oh, Bob, hang on.
Feather just... Bottom. It was something really close to that. I'm not
Don,
far off.
Don Featherstone.
I know, but...
Come on. It's a Dawn flamingo and you're saying Featherbottom.
Featherstone.
That's very funny. I like
Dawn
that.
Featherstone.
Oh.
What?
Drew points, he mentions that he was once told pink flamingos in a yard meant you were swingers. Now I understand the bathroom I was in.
Now, is that two flamingos?
It's now strangely erotic.
Strangely erotic.
If it's just one, is it different? Multiple flamingos mean more swinging?
If you only have one, you swing. If you have two or more, you're a swinger.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yep. Jesus.
All right.
I was told there'd be no math.
And let them be perplexed. There's so many things that Drew, I do not understand that prank. No, but
Mom, I'm reading your comment. We did a story.
She was busy.
Oh, she may have been watching.
She was watching the basketball finals
because we did the story at the top of headlines about the dead flamingo
guy. Yeah, it might have been
baseball. Got it. Oh, what is she? Baseball's this? Baseball's
now?
She doesn't give a shit about baseball.
I didn't think so, but nope. He said basketball.
Her mother...
I was being sarcastic.
Grandma loved baseball, but no. Mom realizes that's the fucking boring
thing
to watch.
It's like watching fucking paint dry.
Yeah. Honest to God.
And she loves to paint. I love to paint.
America's pastime, my ass.
America's pastime, because we sleep a lot. We're nap takers.
Yeah, oh, I do like that. And a hot dog.
Yeah.
And I hate hot dogs.
Oh, there's that.
Oh, I love hot dogs.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Ironically, I don't like them.
Yeah.
I do not find them strangely erotic. No.
Well, we're done with the headline section, but I would like to just add one little story to this. I found this online. His girlfriend said his dog had to go, so she posted on Craigslist, and I thought we might like to just kind of go through this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, it says free to any willing home. It says Roanoke, Virginia. My girlfriend does not like my beagle, Molly, so I have to rehome her.
Rehome her.
She's a purebred from a wealthy area, and I've had her 4 years. She likes to play games, not totally trained, has long hair, so she's a little high maintenance, especially the nails. She loves having her nails done. Stays up all night yapping, but sleeps while I work. Only eats the best, most expensive food. Will never, in all caps, never greet you at the door after a long day or give you unconditional love when you're down. Does not bite, but she can be mean as hell. So, ... There's a lot of dots. Anyone interested in my 30-year-old, selfish, wicked, gold-digging girlfriend, come get her.
Yep.
Me and my dog want her rehomed ASAP.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, get out. I love it.
I thought that was a good Craigslist ad for getting rid of people that don't need to be involved in your life.
Yeah, that is. I mean...
I like it.
If you're one of those
animal
dog
people.
Right.
Dog
then
people.
That's a no-brainer.
Right.
You got to get rid of the dog.
Get out.
Yeah, that's the fastest way you're leaving that relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
here's
absolutely.
Your 20 bucks. Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20.
There's
strangely
you're
erotic.
Well, no problem.
I love to see $20 on my dresser.
Right?
Don't you?
I leave it I'm there, good. But still, it makes me happy in the morning.
Right. Sometimes it's got glitter on it.
Actually,
would you like to... Would you like to continue on with your entertainment
strangely
section?
Strangely erotic.
Alfie?
Sure.
You good?
Why not?
Al Perkins! Hey!
Ooh, I'm surprised I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
That
yeah.
Good.
So it's two cheers for Mucinex.
Woo!
And Tesla and Pearls.
Keep going.
Neosinephrine up the nose, a leaf.
Any time today, you could tell what you're going to talk about.
No, I just want to tell you, like, I'm surprised I made that noise.
I can play it
some
again.
Some people
these
died.
Are the commercials.
A couple people died. We all had our homework about Orange is the New Black.
I know.
There's a documentary coming up on Sunday on CNN that I think we're all going to want to watch. Uh-huh. And
I'll do it again in case you need it.
No, I don't. We're done. We're good.
Did you get the one who died today?
Yeah.
Now, yes, we'll start there, and I wanted to give him more credit than what
because we didn't have him in the death toll. We haven't done the death din in for fucking ever. I don't know if it matters anymore.
I think we need to address it off and on once a month at least.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Well, we should do a follow up and a catch up on. Oh, well, that's a good
that's
one.
A good call.
I do want to. I'm assuming we're all talking about Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, yes. Dick Van Patten. No, Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Dyke still very much alive.
Family.
Sorry.
Eight is enough.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm like, no.
Wow, why? We're fucking this up.
Family, totally different show.
Yeah.
Well, God
Christian
damn.
Christian McNichol.
But in a segue, the intro's over. Thanks, Mielka.
Thanks.
Dick Van Patten's family is very, very talented. Joyce Van Patten, his wife, actress, somewhat of a comedian.
I have to look her up. I don't even know who she is.
Oh, you would. She was in a lot of different stuff. And she appeared quite a bit on Eight is Enough. Anytime he was around, she was somewhere nearby. 86 years old, I want to say. Born in 28, 80, no.
The Dickman Patton?
86 years old.
I thought it said 88. Well, he died at 88.
He didn't. Nope. But anyways.
Bastard.
Very funny guy. But the thing that I wanted to make sure people were aware of, he was on Eight Is Enough, and that was all very nice, and it brought us Betty Buckley, so of course we're grateful. The gays are very happy about that. But and let me,
oh, I recognize her now.
Yeah, and his son,
Dennis.
No, the other one. He's got two sons. The other one is a Emmy award winning TV director.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and does some really good work. And now I got to find it. But he is fantastic in. I'm going to get there soon.
Wow, I never knew that was his wife.
Yeah, he was on The Streets of San Francisco for a long time that I remember. Oh, for the love of fuck! Why isn't it coming up?
Next to Carl Malden?
Are you talking Timothy? Van Patten?
Timothy Van Patten is the director. Emmy Award winning. He had a... Oh, Jesus Christ. Which movie is it? High Anxiety. He's in Mel Brooks's High Anxiety. And just a very funny part. He was a very funny man. Really, he went so nicely between comedy and drama. And he was very, very good. Yes, he was in Spaceballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aaron. Thank you.
But just really good. But he's so good in High Anxiety. So such a funny character. And Eight Is Enough was just a delightful little show.
I love that show.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. And I had a crush on Tommy like the whole world did. And, you know, the minute Betty Buckley walked out in the Tony Awards and started to...
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? She can sing. So...
I agree.
And they milked that Eight Is Enough shit to death. Like, there's an Eight Is Enough wedding. There's an Eight Is Enough... A family reunion.
Oh my God! When Mary would cry,
Electric Boogaloo.
Mary, I always thought was Mary was a little bit much, but
this time it's personal. He was on. I always forget he was on Arrested Development too, and he was very funny on Arrested Development. Last appeared on Hot in Cleveland as a character there, but so not just how good he was, but I saw Joyce on Broadway in one of the worst shows I've ever seen.
What was it?
But it wasn't her fault. It was just poorly written. It was called Taller Than a Dwarf. Oh, with Parker Posey and Matthew Broderick and Elaine May, and it was awful.
Okay.
Worst thing I've ever seen. But I always
okay.
But the Van Patten child that directs, I think he directed episodes of Dexter.
So are you talking Vincent Van Patten? As far as that's his son,
I think that's what it is.
An American actor, former tour professional player. He was a professional tennis player. Dick Van Patten was a huge tennis player as well.
Oh, and then for Ernie, he is a huge animal
person. Well, he had his own dog food company, didn't he? Dick Van Patten? I'm pretty certain he had a dog food company.
Yes, he did. It's one of the big ones.
I couldn't tell you right now. I have to look it up. Stand by. Google's amazing.
I am so sorry. Timothy Van Patten is his half brother. I thought it was his son.
Natural Balance is his dog food company.
Okay. So yes, I'm sorry. I always assumed Timothy Van Patten was his son. It's his half brother. Emmy award winning director, and I was just a huge, huge fan. And then
Talia Balsam. Are you familiar with her?
Yes.
That is his niece.
Oh, he had a big family.
There's that. Well, eight. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But let me see. Now the big as
potato
much as
and kangaroo formula. That's one of the dog foods. Yes, potato and duck, sweet potato and fish, potato and kangaroo.
So fancy fucking dogs.
Apparently, sure was. No shit.
And now one of my favorite composers died yesterday in a plane crash. He went the way of John Denver's Rocky Mountain, not quite high enough.
Yeah.
He was flying a plane north of Santa Barbara, crashed, and it was just a huge loss. Two-time Academy Award winner.
James Horner.
He has 125 fucking credits, so there's absolutely no way to go through them all. But he did the music from Titanic, which, regardless of how you feel about that movie, that music is gorgeous. I have that soundtrack, and like... The music as it leaves the dock. If you're not familiar with it, go on
iTunes.
It's
a lovely flourish. Like when it leaves, there is just such a crescendo when it leaves. It's lovely.
It's one of the first score soundtracks I ever bought that I just loved the score so much. And I just thought it was so nicely done. And the music is just lovely to sit around. I used to read, like, just sit in my back room at my house and just...
On your toilet reading the Entertainment Weekly?
No, that was in a room. But he, and the other one that I forgot he did Apollo 13, which I just watched the other day. So good. A lot of this is uncredited, but he did, wow, he did a lot of stuff. Clear and Present Danger, The Pelican Brief. But he did Aliens, which if you've ever seen that movie, that soundtrack is kind of like, he worked with James Cameron a lot. He did, let me make sure he did Terminator 2, because I'm 90% sure he did, but I don't want to say he did if he didn't do it. We're going to get there, we're going to get there, we're going to get there, we're in the realm. And, no, I guess he didn't do Terminator 2, but he did do Aliens. I really thought he did T2. But there's really no soundtrack to T2 except for tick, 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 that, oh, just relentless. But just, it was just a great loss. Mm-hmm. And he was, I think he's got 3 movies coming out
and young.
This year.
61?
Was he? Yeah.
For, I think it's at like 61 or something.
61.
Now, was it... Did it finally get confirmed? Because all I heard yesterday was they hadn't heard from him. Registered plane.
No,
nothing was actually confirmed.
Either his assistant or his publicist, who must have been a great friend, because her post, her twit?
Her tweet? Tweet?
Strangely ironic. Her tweet on the topic was very sad, that she was just going to have to go into hiding. She was so upset. Avatar was the other big one that he did.
Oh, yes, Avatar.
Great music, too. So a big loss to the movie community and just beautiful music. I mean, everything else was nice, but that score for Titanic. I'm sorry, like, a lot of people were annoyed when it kept winning Oscars, but that was one of the greatest scores. Just, and I still listen to it all the time. It's just fantastic. So let's get back here, see what we got. Nope, that's the wrong page. I keep going back to that. I suck at this. I really got to find this. I got to bring in a second computer to keep this on.
Do you want to use one of these?
No, because you don't have my around. List on yours.
No, that's true.
Nurse Jackie, I keep saying it. Nurse Jackie just gets better and better. This Sunday is the last episode, and I just cannot. I have no idea how they're going to end it. Like, is she going to die? Is she going to live? Like, what's going to happen to the hospital? They have really built this up after a very like lackluster season before this one. Mm-hmm. They have just put everything in it and everyone's going full tilt. And it's a great story about her trying to fight to get her nursing license back, someone trying to buy the hospital. Like, they've gotten rid of characters, they brought characters in, and they're just getting it done. So kudos to Showtime, and I can't wait to see how that goes. Okay.
It's top of hour 2. Or top of hour 3, or end of hour 2, top of hour 3, depending how you look at it. We've got more coming up. Al Perkins is still in the middle of his entertainment. We got so many things to talk about. We have a whole another hour to fill. And don't you want to be here for that, really? Aaron, thank you. Brad, is it...
Do you really want to hurt me?
Is it Brad Fidel? Did Terminator 2? Is that what Aaron's telling us?
I think so.
Got it.
Not familiar with his work at all.
We got more things coming up.
He did Terminator 2.
That's helpful.
Yeah, entertainment, we're going to ask that all-important question and thoughtful vulgarity coming up in just a little while. Who knows what else is going to come up? We've got 60 minutes to go. Stick with us. It's Q-Talk America, the show. It's Tuesday. Stay here. Thanks.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Ooh, sorry, boys and girls. Al gave me a little something to change and do, so I'm going to do it. Hi, everybody. It's the beginning of hour 3. This is the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee alongside with Marnie Ryer and Al Perkins, who had to step out of the old studio. But what we're going to do before Al gets back. I love it when he throws me for a loop like that, and I don't know where to go, and it's like all of a sudden I have to scramble and shuffle. If we had producers and an actual production cast, it would be so much easier.
What do you, hey, do you what?
I'm sorry? What'd you, what?
I was joking. I didn't have these on. I said, wait, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me.
But of course, I could hear you.
You could hear me.
Anyhow.
Oh, wow.
Just trying to spare you some time there.
We've wasted a few minutes. Let's do this right quick before Al gets back, because he's got something to do.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
If you think it sucked so far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
We continue on with Al Perkins and his entertainment stuff. He was talking about, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but I'm sure it was entertaining.
I don't either. what's coming up this Sunday on CNN? We all remember it from the Oscars, a very touching moment, but I'll Be Me, the documentary.
I already have it set to record. I really, really want to watch that.
And the, about Glenn Campbell. Oh, I always forget how cute he was. Didn't he used to kick the shit out of Tanya Tucker for a while?
He and Tanya had a tumultuous relationship, yes.
That means he beat her.
Yeah.
In 70s speak, or 80s.
Well, they were both into drugs, I think.
They drank like crazy. They both were drinkers.
Party gal.
There's a song, and I don't know if anybody else realizes it. There was a song, and I forgot who wrote it. He may have been involved. It's on YouTube. It's called I Won't Miss You? I think it's called I Won't Miss You. Look up Glenn Campbell and Miss You. It's the song that he did, and it kills you if you... I had a grandmother who went through Alzheimer's.
Was that the song from the Oscars?
Yeah, that was the song from the Oscars. Yep.
I Won't Miss You. Yep. And it literally is, it's not about I don't love you. I'm not going to remember you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss you. Because
you're going to be the one that will have an issue. But I'm,
right. You as my wife and my family, but I'm not going to miss you because I don't realize I'm not going to remember you. It's it kills me.
Oh, it was the moment at the Oscars that destroyed all of us.
It was it's something. So,
and it didn't win or it didn't win.
He wasn't there yet. By the time that we watched that.
Were you late for the Oscars?
Who knows?
Nope.
Oh!
Nope, I'm not bringing that up. Yep. But
oh, that's right. You had some kind of an issue.
There was something going on. But
I think you did miss it at the Oscars.
But that song just... Oh. It's a 2.5-minute song, but it's still that,
It's the theme from that movie. But I don't think... I don't remember
I don't
that
think
when
it won.
The, you know, I don't think it won either. No, but Let It Go won.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, that just... It's crushing because you realize he's singing the song and knowing full good and well.
He's not really.
When he recorded it, yes. But it's just saying,
I get it.
I'm not going to miss you because I'm not going to know who you are.
You're masturbating with a stranger.
It's really
strangely
weird.
Erotic.
Strangely. Strangely. So Sunday night,
is
coming
up. So Sunday night in CNN, and it looks very good.
Have you watched it all? It's a slight change of topic, but same network. Have you watched much of the 70s?
It's my next line.
Go ahead.
So the 70s documentary on CNN has been very, very good.
Yeah.
I watched most of the 60s one. I didn't see every episode.
I didn't either, but I saw a lot of it.
But I saw a lot of them. So I've seen the first two so far from the 70s. Mm-hmm. The one was on 70s television, and I thought
I thought you'd have so much fun with that.
It was really, really well done. And I thought the fact they brought up Battle of the Network Stars, which I loved.
I used to love
watching that.
I did too.
But you knew, even as a child, you knew that was killing their hearts. Like, they were dreams were dying with a thud.
Right. This is what we've resulted to.
I always loved it when their careers were like starting to tank, because I'd be like,
she just did Love Boat, and now she's on Circus of the Stars.
Right now, Circus of the Stars is where dreams just died. Like, that was just over.
Yeah,
but Battle of the Network Stars, like, they were, Linda Carter was not hurting for anything.
Right. It's true.
They talked them into that, and
funny money.
Mike, what's his butt from MASH?
Mike Farrell.
MASH. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, when he just talked about just the Honeycutt. Horror of doing it. Yeah. And Ed Asner, when he had the Speedo on.
That's right.
Oh, I need to Google that. I did not know there was such a thing.
Oh, no, it's in the documentary about the TV. They show him on Battle of Network Stars, like, take off his pants and he was in a Speedo.
I'm going to Google right now.
My world ended.
If my computer crashes in a minute, I feel bad.
You might, because it's like lime green.
Oh, my God. I'm going to type Ed Asner Speedo and see what comes up.
And I knew a lot about 70s TV because I was there. Mm-hmm. But I really needed a little bit of history on Watergate.
I thought that was fascinating. That was
very fascinating. It was very.
I'm just going to stop that right now. The Watergate thing I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I found interesting was, obviously, we're almost 40 years later, and the players in the game that are still active, mm-hmm. that you're like, you were 20 and you were involved in this, or not involved, but they were on the Senate panel. They were part of the committee. They were this, that, and the other.
And Fred Thompson shows up.
Fred Thompson. That's the biggest one to me. Mm-hmm. Because he used to sub in all the time for Paul Harvey. And I'm like, I loved his speaking. I loved how he did.
He was also on Law and Order.
And then all of a sudden, yes.
And he tried to run for president.
He sure did.
And I was like, oh, my God.
He's a fucking tard.
So it was very interesting to see all the players and how they were paying no attention to the man behind the curtain. I'm like, it's all about the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. And it's a very interesting. And
interesting.
Then,
yeah.
But then they never said, because I know that we know who Deep Throat is, but now I can't remember again. It's kind of like.
I have to tell you that when we were watching it, I feel like they said his name and that he was one of the people that they showed. They just didn't refer to Deep Throat.
They did say his name, but they didn't mention that he was Deep Throat. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But I know that it's been revealed who the source was, and I was like, wow, I have Alzheimer's. I can't remember either.
Mark Felt. Is that right?
Oh, no.
Is that it?
That might be why I forgot it.
It says Mark Felt in 30-year mystery about Watergate, WashingtonPost.com.
Yeah.
Mark Felt.
Who was he, though?
FBI, W. Mark Felt. I'm not going to read through all this.
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, there it goes. And then we'll, and there you have it. Look it up.
Yep, yep.
But we know who Deep Throat is.
Yep.
So let's go over here.
And I'm looking forward to this Thursday on CNN. It's another episode. And I'm curious only.
Oh, the end of the war.
It's the regards to Vietnam and all of that. And I have a lot of issues with regards to that only because of my own personal world.
Right.
But I honestly don't understand enough about all of it, and I know it's not joyous
and it wasn't
at all.
It wasn't taught in. We were not taught it in high school because you couldn't teach it.
Glazed over it all.
I think I told you guys we did a. Well, this would be weird. I started this a thing where we did a walkout, and I got other people because I was so pissed at my history teacher. I don't want to know about the War of 1812 anymore.
Right.
I'm a senior in high school, and you're a fucking idiot because you're not telling me. Right. Our parents were in either Korea or during Korea, Vietnam.
And I know more about Korea, sadly, because of MASH.
Right. But MASH was really about Vietnam.
Right.
Right. But I mean, but they actually, there were names, there were things, there were events that they portrayed. Right. I know more about that based on that show, but I agree with what you're saying because obviously the timeline from when it was produced.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan Forrest was our teacher, and God bless him for putting up with us because I sat there and he would be talking about what he had to talk about, what they told him the curriculum had to be in. And I just said, I kept raising my hand. You need to tell us. I want to know about Vietnam. I want to know about this. I want it. And I would just kind of, and Marnie will some of the time. And finally I said, well, if you're not going to talk to us, then there's no, I'm just going to go sit out here.
No reason for me to be here.
Right. And there were a bunch of us and it was kind of a sit in out in the hallway. And a number of people came out and he walked out and he just shook his head. And he's like, seriously? Yep. And he took me back in there and just spoke to me. He said, obviously, you're going to get these people back in here. So I can't tell you. He said, I was there. Do you know how badly I want to be able to tell you? Do you? And I saw this passion suddenly.
What was preventing them? Was the school board?
It wasn't in the textbook. And there was never an opinion of who won, who lost,
you can't teach
what
ambiguity.
It was about. Correct.
Oh.
There's no way to teach it. Like,
correct.
George Washington can't lie. You know, he chops down a cherry tree, like
which is a lie.
Like, right? Yeah. You just have to like follow this narrative when you're right. teaching in school that you can't teach ambiguity, and that's the biggest.
There
ambiguous.
Was no opinion. He couldn't. It'd be and his.
Like, how did we get here? Why are we still there? What happened? So the part that's coming up this Thursday is about the end of the war, and when you see the stuff that, especially after we, oh God.
Oh my God, I love Robert Kanye.
Aaron, I'm gonna be a bold man. I'm gonna click on it.
I'm gonna click on the link.
I'm like, yeah.
But there's because, you know, when Bush and Cheney decided to take us into war, one of the things that they did that was kind of shitty was they would not allow the caskets to be shown coming home.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they knew that that's what turned the tide on Vietnam, was as the caskets were coming in. And I think it's David Brinkley that they show standing in Arlington Cemetery. And he said the next time someone takes us to war, they need to do it from here. So that when they're telling you we're sending your children to die, you can see a cemetery.
Right. Yeah.
And it's I got chills when I
saw that. The wording that he uses, Brinkley was wonderful with the English language.
And I think it's Brinkley that's in the
clip. It is. Because that voice is unmistakable. But I've seen it because it's in the preview.
It's in the preview, yeah.
It's fantastic. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I watched I think I almost need to watch it again, the Watergate one, just because I watched it and I'm dumbfounded by some aspects of it. I'm like, really?
It's political theater in the toilet. Like, it honestly is just... And a man who was going to win in a landslide.
Yes.
Like,
oh, my God. Yeah, totally.
Very,
had it lock, stock, and barrel.
Very, very, very popular president.
Yeah.
Doing amazing. He started the EPA. He was like... Yes. He was a good guy. He was just so fucking paranoid and batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. My God.
He just shit on his own career.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they said that about his popularity as a president and all the really great things that he had done...
Except for when he started the drug war and had Elvis Presley
drug czar. Well,
strangely erotic to see the two of them together.
But I paused it, and I looked over at Mom. I said, is that for real? And she, yeah.
Yeah.
She said it absolutely was.
Oh, and the I Elvis guess, thing?
No. How popular he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I guess I knew that there were things that were good. I just didn't realize that popular.
One of the three biggest landslides in like electoral like popular vote, electoral college, like one of the three biggest in history. Wow. There was no one even had a shot at that thing. And so when you watch it, to go from like this man who like won the nation to like just a criminal in 2 years, and that's why, but he was a little bit easier to revive. He became a very respected elder statesman and stuff like that with a lot of the stuff he did later. So just a couple quick things to finish. Tracy Morgan gets his star on the Walk of Fame, as I really hope that he can make a comeback and get back to comedy. A bizarre human being, but genuinely funny. And
the funny thing is, I've never thought he was funny.
I don't think he's funny.
I've never thought he was funny.
Mr. Brian Fellows. I love him because he's just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Just a bizarre, bizarre sense of humor. And, you know, and now that he's so... I mean, you watch that interview, he's just so sad.
Mm-hmm.
And
I did see that, and I agree with what you're saying.
That it just
I saw some different stand-up things, and it just wasn't to my taste. It doesn't mean he's not funny.
I've never seen his stand-up. I just know him from SNL, and I'm Brian Fellows. And that... There was no reason for that skit to be funny, but it used to just make me fucking giggle. I'd have no idea why.
And I didn't even like his character on 30 Rock.
I did that because that was just him.
I never
that
liked
was
that.
Was seriously just...
If I could have had that show without him, better. Because I'll watch Tina Fey and the boss, what's his name?
But when him and Jenna Alec. Got together to just be spoiled, rotten actors, that was just genius. Like the stuff he wanted in his contract... And all the shit with her, with needing better light, like, they were just sublime together, I thought.
Yeah.
Yes, he did have some homophobic tendencies.
A little bit. Yeah.
But nobody's perfect. So then, everybody's assignment was Orange is the New Black, and I'm assuming that Kat watched. Have you seen any?
Oops.
Okay.
Well, because we want to just watch it. We want to be able to sit down and just watch
the Orange
thing, and we haven't, we haven't.
This morning on Kathy Lee and Hoda, Laverne Cox was on, and it was a very fun interview. And even Laverne's like, they took my character places I didn't even know we were going. It was very interesting, and she gave no spoiler alerts, but it was very interesting. And then she talked about the fact that her twin brother, plays her, because the story that she told this morning was wonderful, because they told the story that they put her through. They said, okay, we're gonna have flashbacks, so they took her into makeup and they tried to butch her up. And they did the whole thing, and they screen tested it. And the producer's like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to hire somebody. You can't do this. You can't."
And then
they're like, "Well, my brother is identical and perfectly worked out." Which I've never seen it, but I thought it was an interesting interview.
It is. And now, as far as I am in this series, she's still a very still just a guest star. Like the very first episode, she has a nice night. The first episode's called Mother's Day. There's a lot of interaction, and you get to see a little bit of.
Use your words, Al. Use your words.
Wow, I just went completely blank.
Cold medicine. Cold medicine.
I know. Wow, it all kicked in.
Strangely erotic.
Strange, yes. Strangely erotic. You get to see all the relationships between the prisoners and their kids and the struggles and the problems. And Laverne Cox's, Sophia's character, her wife brings their son to Mother's Day.
Okay.
And it was very...
Is this HBO or Showtime?
Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
And I just don't know how to describe it. It was just a very nice interaction with, like, there was no drama about there was a little, like, TMI, dad, mom, like, but you could just see, like, the son kind of struggling with, I'm here on Mother's Day with my father. Mm-hmm. I now have a stepfather. Who is this person before me? In this conversation they're trying to have about, and there's been a little bit of interaction with, like how his son is reacting, and it's just really good. Kate Mulgrew as Red is so good this season. But Natasha Lyonne, so far the VIP.
Really?
Oh, okay. Heartbreaking. And a lot of times now we're not going back to find out how they got in jail, which worked. Now we're going back just to get a little bit of flavor of them.
Mm-hmm. Their backstory.
Their backstory, right, of like how they got here. And Natasha Lyonne just brings it home. Her flashback into her story and the ramifications of her story through like her whole world was just powerful TV. And I think Matt McCrory left because of now he's on How to Get Away with Murder. So, you know.
Oh, sure.
So now you've. So
I didn't know whose name you were talking about, but no.
So I don't know. Like, I was trying to find out, like, ooh, is he coming back? But I know they're not giving it away as to how it's going to go. But his exit was, again, very, very powerful.
Okay.
And his backstory, again, was like, it was a little heavy handed in the metaphor, but just well done. But, okay. It's a great show. They're missing the villain, though. The problem is you don't have V.
I saw your post about that. And
so
I
you really have this letdown feeling of you're missing this great villain. You have this thing that's getting everything going, and now they've brought up the industrial prison complex. They're bringing up like using prisoners as slave labor. Like they're going into a lot of different places with it, but you really do miss that truly evil character, like getting all those girls against each other and like the manipulation of like.
And how many episodes in are you?
I think I'm six. I think I lost consciousness.
So we don't know.
Episode
Maybe.
Seven. Yeah, we don't know.
Maybe something will come.
But the hot girl that I made it to the episode where the hot girl that
the one that everybody is kind of going nuts about, Ruby Rose.
They are not making that shit up.
Okay.
She is lovely.
Okay.
Lovely.
I've seen people just seriously losing their shit about her. And
yeah.
I'm like, what?
And they are not kidding. Like she's one of those people that she just photographs beautifully. Okay. Like
because the pictures I've seen of her, I'm like, all right,
and you can whatever. Just watch. You can just watch everybody in the show be like. Yeah, I'm going after that.
Oh, okay. Well, if I'm in prison, I'm still not going after that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the girls in the prison, you can just see them saying, like, oh, we're a happy couple, but have you seen that?
Over there? Right.
And lesbian goddess Lori Perry is back.
Okay. Good.
And it's just a strange storyline. But so, very good. So I was hoping for a cat for that one, but...
I know, and I was hoping to have followed through with that, and I apologize.
Watch, enjoy... Netflix just keeps it going.
Into Grace and Frankie, I think I had mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Like, started watching that and all the Amy Schumers. I'm almost caught up with the
season. That shit's just wild.
There are some of it that I can't keep up with. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is going on? But she is very funny.
That is one funny bitch.
Yeah. Because I just appreciate that she just... The self-deprecating and all of it. She really is. So
the last part that she goes deep or deep down or deep inside with Amy Schumer where she does an interview with somebody.
Deep inside.
Yes, I do. I love that stuff.
Strangely erotic.
Yeah, it is strangely erotic.
She did.
I'm not going to disagree. Like all of a sudden she says deep things inside. And you're like, oh my God, did she say that out loud? Yeah.
It's so good. Her interview with, I think we've talked about it before, her interview with the trans person was so spot on because she's somewhere where she can ask the question where you don't have to be completely politically
Katie
correct.
Kirk about it. Right?
Yeah, and yeah. so she asked some
Kirk didn't pull up very well,
horribly inappropriate questions, but it's like what you kind of want to know. Like,
right.
It was a very, very good interview. The one with the guy that's just a pervert. He's like a registered pervert.
What about the one with
Also Republican,
the
I'm sure.
The 90-year-old woman, like her neighbor or something.
The 90-year-old woman, she interviewed a 90-year-old woman. She's just asking her. And the woman can't really hear.
Yeah.
She has trouble hearing, so she leans in.
Oh.
And the answers are just hysterical. Like her thoughts on new hairdos and pants and the war and the depression.
Yeah.
Because she's old enough to have seen it all and what she thinks about things. And it's an absolute delight.
It is. Yeah, I agree. I do like that.
And I really do waste a lot of time Tuesday nights into Wednesday morning watching all those. And it must be from the, I don't know how many episodes there are. Eventually I have to be caught up, but right. I guess we're not there yet. And that's it. That's it that I can think of for entertainment.
So I went to the second movie in a week that was on an opening weekend, which how rare for me.
Oh,
right?
Did you see Inside Out?
Yes.
I heard really good things.
All I can tell you is that I cried like a little bitch.
Oh.
That's what I've heard.
Wow.
Here, you know, I'm excited because I love animation. I mean, we've talked about that. We went and saw Cars. I mean, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I eat that kind of shit up. And I was so excited to see this one. And then it didn't go well. That's all I'm going to say. And the six-year-old that was sitting in front of me, when I saw her turn and look at her mom, and the lip got real big, and then she was like, that, and her eyes got all big.
Is that early on?
Huh?
Is that early on in the movie?
Maybe a quarter of the way, a little bit. But it's a kind of a surprise from the beginning because you're like, wait, this is going differently than I anticipated.
Not what you expected, right?
And I realized when I looked at the little
girl. Had sex like that.
No, I can't believe
that. This is not how this was supposed to go.
It was strangely erotic. Not for you, I mean. Yeah.
And then the glitter came out. Wow.
But I realized that I had the same. I looked at this little girl like, oh, you poor little thing. And then I realized I had the same look on my face.
Yeah.
The big lip and the, you know, and the tears. It was stupid. We took mom for Father's Day.
Okay.
Yeah, and we sat there, and I look over at my mom, you know, who the big joke is, because she went through menopause, started like years ago, and was so fucking emotional, it was ridiculous. God love her. But I mean, like, you would walk in the room, and she'd be like, oh, she's so nice to you.
God.
She'd lose it. And I'm like, oh, God. So it became the big joke.
I do that when I see Circus of the Stars people.
Yeah.
We watched an Unsolved Mysteries episode. And,
oh, my God.
And we're just watching that. And there was one about, it was one of the funniest fucking things ever to me. Sleepwalkers and sleep runners. And this mom was talking about her daughter, who was a sleep runner. And they showed this woman in this really teeny tiny room in a twin bed, like, get up, put her shoes on, and then turn and run full bore into this wall and fall down.
Oh, now,
I am hysterical. I'm crying because I'm laughing so hard because it's a reenactment and somebody had to do that.
Buy that.
I thought that was hysterical.
Here's your job. It pays union.
Right. Yeah.
Here's $3.
All different kinds of acting.
And look up at my mom because, you know, you look at people when you're laughing like, oh, you're that fun. Let's share that laugh. And my mom's like,
my God.
What the fuck? And I look and she's like, but that's so sad. I mean, like, her mama's talking about her. Jesus.
Yeah. So, sell the uterus.
Something.
Sell the uterus.
Needless to say, that Christmas, I got my mom this beautiful.
A uterus?
No.
I got her a new uterus. Try this one on, lady.
Can this make you less cry, weepy shit? I got her one of those things, like, from a daughter to her mom, you know, like one of those
things. Oh, that's just mean.
This is worse.
Totally.
That's like gas on a fire.
It was on purpose.
Oh.
And so I was sitting there, and I looked at Jen. I said, wait till she opens this. Save it for last. And we put it to the side. Mom opens it. Well, apparently once you get on those antidepressants. Because she started reading it, and she's like, oh, that's nice. And sets it down. So I stood up that fast and I ran into the wall and I fell down. I did. And I'm like, is that going to make you cry? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, bitch, I set you up.
You cry at Unsolved Mysteries, but you.
What was unsolved about it? She had running shoes on a wall. Where's the mystery? She ran into the wall.
She couldn't get out.
Solved it.
Solved it. Oh, it was.
Cabot Cove is relieved.
Exactly. Jessica Fletcher.
Anyway,
at your cervix.
Forgive me for my little rant, but that was fucking hysterical.
At your cervix. That was fun.
I do have one more thing that I'm so sad. Well, I'm not really sad about it, nor am I surprised. But NBC has canceled Hannibal. But
we
will not despair because it is. We've been talking about it for 3 years now. It is internationally financed. It plays all over the world.
But
NBC just threw a few shekels at them. They were not a big contributor, and they're going to play the whole season. Like they're not taking it off the air or anything like that. They're not making it hard to find. They're just saying you will no longer find this on NBC. I am fairly confident that someone is going to pick up this show. Now, as we were talking the other day about trying to jump into a show too far in,
right.
Okay, there's rules about like how far you can go with the show. I do not understand how this show is on network TV.
And you've said that for a long time.
The best way I can describe this season is it's like being in a nightmare watching a nightmare. And then when it's over, you have nightmares about what you just saw. It's so disturbing. And Molly and I had a little online chat yesterday about this. It's the carcass. It's deboned.
Who's in Brazil? Who's listening from Brazil?
Oh, they always do. They never tell us. Oh, no, we have a name, but I can't remember.
Well, look at your list.
Good list. So anyways, it's like the torso of someone with the bones all removed, kind of curled up, and it was like a Valentine, and it falls to the ground, and it bleeds, and then antlers come out of it, and it turns into like the elk that he thinks is Hannibal. And it was one of those things that was just so fucked up. And it's all dark and mysterious. It's all like filmed darkly with all this blood. It's like basically being in a Walmart. Yeah, that's a good tense. If Walmart was filled with beautiful, beautiful images.
Oh, we haven't even touched on that. We'll get to that in a minute.
But I cannot express to you like how vague and dreamlike and completely unfollowable. Like if you jumped in at season 3, you'd be like,
"What the hell?" Right.
This is like, and it's now just it's like a piece of music. Like there's just. I can't even describe how beautiful this is. Like, there's very little dialogue that makes sense. It's so esoterical and so off on this limb of like fantasy and reality. And Gillian Anderson, just doing the best work of her career, is she captured? Is she manipulating? Is it what the fuck is going on? But it's so beautiful, and I'm terrified as I'm watching it. I just like I'm so creeped out. And then I seriously have nightmares for like 2 nights after I watch it. It's so fucking disturbing, but it's so beautifully done. And I think they have like 7 lines of dialogue, and half of them are in Italian. You're like, what the fuck?
And that's on just regular television.
It's on NBC, and I can't, the gore involved in this show, like just the amount of blood. And usually when a movie goes from PG-13 to R, you can shoot somebody 100 times, and as long as there's not excessive blood, you stay at PG-13.
Yeah, wild to me.
Any wound that bleeds takes you into R-rated category. Like, it's the amount of blood. And usually, like, to get, like, Cape Fear is the best example. In the scene with Cape Fear where they're, like, fighting in the blood, if you watch it on network TV, there's no blood. You can't understand why they're like, slipping on the floor because they've whited out all the blood. This show is just seas of blood. Like, like, just, bam, stab some guy in the temple. And the guy's, like, sitting there like, I can't see. And then Gillian Anderson just walks over.
How do you have a storyline, though? Like, if you're just killing people.
That's what I mean. And they've gotten rid of there's no more procedural part. There's no, like, more victims. It's just Hannibal and Dr. Bedelia going through Europe, taking on, he wants to be a curator, so he's killing everyone that has the job.
Okay.
And he's now the curator or whatever he is. I can't remember. And he has people for dinner, and he kills them, and then the next people that come over to eat the person that he just killed.
Oh.
And like they're talking about, they're just having this surreal conversation about like how they would divide up an animal.
It's very Barbara Seville.
Oh my God, it's so fucked up. They have a conversation about like who gets this cut of meat, and this the like the kings, the royalty gets this, the bourgeois gets this, the landowners get this, and then the peasants get, and they talk about the anus and what a savory dish it is. And then you realize they're eating the guy before's anus, and they're like, and it's beautifully presented. It's presented like,
well, it's glittery.
It's glittery. It's strangely erotic, but they're all like, they're because he prepares it so beautifully, and he talks about how he prepares it, and there's all these things going on, and the woman is just sitting there having this rapturous meal, and she's clearly eating the guy before's anus, who's got a pencil coming out of his head going, I can't see, I can't see. And Julian Anderson just walks around the table giving this little speech, and she just pulls the pencil out of his head, and he falls down dead, and he's like, well, technically, you killed him. And you're just like, what the fuck is, like, no. It's just so, and I love things that are just that, like, bizarre off the and, off yeah, the wall, yeah. And, like, we are not trying to please anybody. Like, there's no lowest common denominator on this show. Like, I'm just like, this is like a gore fest. So it will come back. Somebody's going to pick it up. Good night, Harrison. Someone's going to pick it up. Somebody's going to do something with it. But if you're watching it and enjoying it, and there's only, like, 1.5 million of us left, which is still a pretty big audience.
Not a bad audience.
Wow, fuck, that show's yeah. incredible. So that's it for entertainment, but I'm sad to see it go, but at the same point, I just can't see anybody...
Where else would it go?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't...
It really is appealing only to, like, me and whoever these 1.4 million other strange fuckers are.
Right.
All right, shall we go to a new segment?
I like it.
Well, we don't have much else to do other than
I think we have to address the elephant in the room.
Well, one of the things that I want to talk about, I forgot to bring up, was... It, with regards to this entire flag debacle that's going on, and I don't think
that would be the elephant in the room.
I was astounded, and I realized that there's legitimate concern about things, and then there's the everybody's going to get on the bandwagon portion of the show. Walmart, Target, Amazon, Sears are the ones getting on board. They didn't have any. Sears didn't have anything in stores. According to what I saw in the news, but it was online. They had some product that was online that had a Confederate flag or something. Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. There was nothing in the store that was that, but they took that other offline.
But didn't that just perk up your ears? Like,
I'm like, really?
Sears?
They're all just on board. Like, fuck it. Nope, we're done. We're done. Now, again, does somebody really have the conscious thought of be like, yeah, no? Or are they all on the bandwagon for this? It doesn't matter. We're going to get rid of all. This is all going to go away.
Well, I think... two things. First off, I think when somebody picked that camera angle of the state flag of South Carolina, the U.S. flag at half staff and that angle where they caught it with the Confederate flag flying high, I think that just put a nail in the coffin. Like it was strangely erotic to see something up that high. But it was one of those images that I think the entire world just saw that and threw up in their mouth. Yeah. Then you find out, like, oh, it's a compromise. They moved it from the top of the state capitol to this place where it can't be lowered. It has no pulley. You need two-thirds of the Senate. Or two-thirds of... Oh, and John Oliver was hysterical. They were going to go with three-fifths, but that was two on the nose. Two on the nose.
Right.
It was just that image, I think, when you have
that
people...
That was quite the image.
Yeah. Oh, my God. As far as I know, Anderson Cooper was the one that, like, look at this.
Not okay.
But I'm sure other people did, too, but that was the one that
Talk about your hashtag, it is not okay.
Oh, my God. That was one of those images where you're like, oh, wait, that's got to stop. And then the crazy, you know, the crazy people come out of the woodwork. And people are like, you don't know the history of the flag. And then you just Google the history of the flag, and they don't come out good in that story either.
No, there's no side of this that's favorable.
No, and
Mississippi having it in their flag, and I never paid attention.
Oh, but did you see that Tennessee has a bust in the Capitol of the first
KKK
head of the KKK? And I'm like, what the fuck, people?
Yeah, what is that?
Like, really? And that they're on Calhoun Street?
Was it David Duke or something? Or
no, it's the first head. Like, I mean, it's some guy from the 1800s was literally the first head of the KKK. He was their...
I don't get it.
And as you're going through and you're looking at all these things in the South and you're like,
whoa.
Oh, people, settle the fuck down. And then when they're like, oh, especially when you hear somebody call it the Glorious Cause, which has always been my favorite... Mm-hmm. When people call it the Glorious Cause. And the irony of that is never lost on me.
Right.
And because that is strangely erotic to call that the Glorious Cause. Or when they say it's the War of Northern Aggression. That is so passive aggressive, nightmarish. You just have to applaud that. Mm. The War of Northern Aggression.
No, I don't think so.
And I was surprised.
By part two, and let me throw this out there. I think the other thing was, like, Fox News had to contort themselves like,
oh, God,
yes.
Yeah. No.
Because if they acknowledge there's a racist, then they are racist. Like, if you're like, this guy says all these things, he's racist, then you're going to be like, well, Bill O'Reilly says it every day, and that lady over there keeps saying it.
Yep.
And Santa just is white.
And Bill O'Reilly talking to Juan Williams, telling Juan Williams that he's completely wrong, that he just doesn't understand the Confederate flag. And Juan Williams is like, Huh? And you know, Juan Williams, who is so drank the Fox News Kool-Aid, that what you can just see the look, and then you think that Bill O'Reilly is going to just back down and be like, okay, we'll go with your point of view. You're, you know, an African-American man, clearly sensitive. Oh, no. Bill O'Reilly just goes full speed and just, oh, you're wrong. You just don't understand that. And Juan, you just, like, the whole thing is Bill O'Reilly talking and Juan Williams going, huh? No. am I dreaming? Like, right. is this white guy really, happening? Really telling me about slavery? Funny. Mm. But I think what they had to do is it was either have a conversation about racism, guns, or get rid of the flag.
Sure.
And you could just watch the Republican Party be like,
which is the easiest one to deal with?
The flag. Go with the flag. Yeah. And then the Republican Party realized that they were all going to be asked about the flag. Everybody, the 9 million people in the clown car running for president that want to win South Carolina, so they can't come. So, that, I mean, they were, another one, contorting themselves 100 different ways to make it states' rights.
Right.
I'm sorry, isn't that what we called slavery? Oh, my God, like, it was just a slippery slope where finally the Republican Party brought them all out on the stage and said, please say you want to get rid of the flag.
Here's what we're doing.
So that your Republican presidential candidates don't come off as racist pigs.
Yeah.
And then, not that it was any of their faults, but all those people that got that money from that white supremacist.
Right. All of a sudden have to cough it up.
That they're like, we're going to donate that money.
To the church. To the church. Yes.
Yep. We have an update from Kat.
Oh.
Oh, he has a concussion.
I figured. That's what I thought.
Needs observation.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, when she said there was no blood, I went, yeah, but because I thought concussion. I thought that can't be good.
Well, keep him awake.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's the Nathan Bedford Forest statue that I know.
Isn't that?
Oh my God, Meow Kale, I cannot even tell you when I saw that thing about in the Capitol building. Yeah. But it's everything about the story. The reason that it flew on top of this of the Capitol building, it's not from when they became a state. It's not from after the Civil War.
It was a horrible 60s, negotiation for.
But it originally went up on top of the Capitol in the 60s as a response to integration of the schools. They wanted to be proudly display.
Oh, God.
They said it was the centennial of the Civil War.
Where was the 2000s where it became this little barter?
And that's where they made the deal to put it next to the memorial. So you're just watching this shit and you're like, this is just a crazy fucked up thing. And all the people that are like, okay, so what about the swastika? And the three people that were brave enough to stand in front of a camera today that had to answer that question, well, if you're going to talk about honoring the war dead, then how do you feel about if somebody threw a swastika up and called it German heritage?
Yep.
And one guy's like, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. It was just hysterical. And you're like,
we have a bad connection.
Just call it a day, get it down, and then take a look around you when you see the KKK statue. You're like, oh, sweet Jesus. But that's my thought. That was the point number two. Was there was three evils to face, and if they call this guy a racist, because it was a religious killing at first. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to it's a religious.
Yep.
It's about religious freedom, and they're like, the witness said this, the cop said this. He's got a
and
manifesto,
and he
even admitted, "I just wanted to come because they were black."
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
but then they're all like, "It will never know."
Yeah, really?
You will never
Rick Santorum keeps saying that. We'll never know why. He's right there. You can ask him. He's alive.
He said it.
Yeah.
10 minutes ago on CNN. Yeah.
He's like a doll. If you pull that thing on his back, he's just going to say it again.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Chatty Cathy.
And what's the fucktard on you can pick one, but what's the really dumb one? Sean Hannity. You're a great American. He keeps saying it too. Right. We'll just never know. Really? Is it because you watch Fox News?
We're going to figure it out. Trust me.
It's going to go unanswered.
And he says it every time he's on screen. It's hysterical.
Before we get to that first GOP debate, ridiculous. We're going to know all about this. And then you all can answer questions if you want to.
I just could not get over this. Things I was seeing, like what's in state capitals.
Yeah.
That it's on the Mississippi flag.
I was shocked.
Surprised to find out that Jeb Bush, not that I'm promoting Jeb, 14 years ago, got it removed from Florida. Mm-hmm.
And put it in a museum.
And put it where it belonged. And I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And I've toured. I don't know. I mean, I know we talked about this. My dad liked war sites. So I've been to Fort Sumter where they fired the first shot. I've been to like battles. I've been to
battlefields.
The big one in Pennsylvania, Gettysburg. I've been to Gettysburg. I've seen like north and south sites. I get what they're. I do not get reenactments. I think that's really fucking crazy. But I would probably reenact Hannibal if you asked me to, and may have just done so. Strangely erotic. So I've been to all these places, and I get the need for the museum. Like, I've been to Pearl Harbor. Like, I get the need for some context, but I just don't, like, we don't fly the Japanese flag over Pearl Harbor and be like, heritage.
Yep.
Right.
Like, nope. Right. I just fucked up.
Yeah. Do you hear a plane coming in?
Yeah.
Surprise! Attack.
Yeah. It's fucking craziness. I know that that metaphor doesn't link up either, but...
No, but it's the whole thing is just too much, where you just sit there, and I've done more just head-shaking in... You know, there have been things that come up, and where you just think, I can't be surprised. Like, I can't be more surprised.
Right.
You can't surprise me. You just did.
Yeah, and
you just don't think they're going to be any more stupid than they are.
Right.
And Lindsey Graham was on The View the day after, and, you know, they had to talk about it and all that stuff. And the one thing I did appreciate, though, is he had to admit that when Hillary Clinton was in the Senate, they worked together a lot. They were actually very friendly, did a couple of bills together, did a lot of traveling together. They were comrades.
Simpatico.
And so she called to... give her condolences to him on behalf of the state, and he had to, like, come out and be like, I have to thank Hillary Clinton for graciously calling. And it was like, oh, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Now, you're going down faster than Huckabee is during this shit.
Oh, that dumbass. Jesus Christ. Oh,
please go on. He answers Facebook questions. Just... He did it. He did it Monday. He did it Monday, and I just was not well enough to, like, alert the world.
Chime in.
But you got to go on one of his Facebook questions and answers, because he's a fucking dumbass. But let me tell
you. How do you know when he's doing it? Do they, like, announce?
You just
got to
monitor his page,
okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Sadly, you probably have to follow him.
Yeah, I'm like,
again, it's like an SNL sketch. Because he tries to answer all of them, no matter, and people are just awful. And when he doesn't know, he just gets on his knees and prays.
We're going to leave this to God.
What's the first thing you're going to do in office? I'm going to get down on my knees and pray for wisdom. And somebody goes, maybe you should try that before the election.
We want that going in.
Yeah.
Got impeached. You gotta be careful.
Just absolutely every answer. And there's so many people just teabagging him on there that it's just fantastic.
That's a metaphor.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Sounds like a metaphor.
Strangely erotic.
Yes. Strangely erotic.
What are you doing? I'm teabagging Huckabee.
Ew.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I can't get that taste out of my mouth.
No. Yeah. No. Bad Republican.
No. Diverse bag litter.
Well, let's continue on with our final segment of tonight.
We'll never know.
We may never know.
I don't think we will.
There is that. Continuing on, our final segment of the night. Stick with us. It goes something like this.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
I'm sorry, completely unprepared, because I thought Anand was providing us with a lovely link.
And it was not.
To a song and dance, and it was a link to the Battle of the Network Stars.
Oh, that's
poolside
awesome.
Poolside intro.
I love it.
Which I know is just going to be horrible, and I'm not going to miss a second of it. Yep.
I love it.
Howard Hessman comes up in a Speedo,
That's good. That's
And Kristen McNichol. You can tell the difference between Howard Hessman and Kristen McNichol by the mustache.
And the hair under her arms.
Only on a Tuesday.
Dr. Ben, of course we do.
Oh, hi, Doc. Dr. Ben. In fact, Dr. Ben, feel free to chime in and join us on this.
I hope everything is okay at home.
I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
Your purse means so much. I got nothing.
What do you mean you got nothing?
Okay. Now,
Kat, are you able to take a phone call? Tell me that in the chat room. Can you take a phone call?
So there's all this thing about Obama using the N-word in his interview with Mark. Please tell me, somebody help me with the name.
I couldn't tell you.
It's a very funny web series. Out of his garage, he's an actor comedian. He has people in his garage, and had a kid decide to fuck around and get hit in the head with a baseball bat. Not pretty. So, anyways, this comedian has this interview, and it was supposed to be lighthearted. Obama had been planning for quite some time to be on it. He was a fan of the web show. He wanted to go. They were going to be lighthearted. But in the interim, this event happened. They had to talk about more serious stuff. And Obama made the comment that just because everyone around you has stopped using the N-word doesn't, in polite society, doesn't mean racism doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Just like taking down the flag doesn't mean racism doesn't exist. We're just no longer like putting it in our state capitol and acting like it's not a thing. And, yeah.
Right.
We're not state sanctioning
it. Racism.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So my thought is there an appropriate time or place, or is there anywhere that word is a, do you feel it's appropriate?
You want to start with her?
Sure.
No, I don't. I remember just reading something on here, and wasn't thinking about it. And I went through and read what a reporter had said. And the look of horror on your faces. And I was like, but it was... I didn't even think about it. You know, it wasn't even in context. I just don't think so. On the other hand, I've heard people talk about...
We're calling Kat. Oh, we're going to get her in on this.
There were things that I've heard from people, I will simply say, of different races.
Yeah.
That say, you know, bullshit.
Hello.
Hi, Kat.
You know, that's something that, yes. You know, we should be able to continue using that word. And when black people use it, or if people of other races use what the stereotypical word or the word that's attacked, because what are you going to do to white folks? Call me a cracker? Ooh.
Yeah.
You're going to call me
ouch.
Wait. Don't call me a honky.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, because I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, like, does that word ever have any power? Like, I just...
Right.
That's one of those words I'm like, huh?
But I think you just said, like, that word has been given power.
Oh, definitely.
And should be on both sides of that. It, you know, that's held with power by black folks that use that. And then when we come in and use it, it's such... I don't know. It gives me the... I don't know.
Heebie-jeebies.
It just really gets me.
Yeah.
Such disdain.
Kat, you would be next in line with the question. Did you hear the question originally?
Well, I got caught up in the delay, so no, I lost the question. Can you please repeat the question?
Well, the question is we're talking about Obama's interview with the in the garage, the podcast. Like, is there any point where you think that word can still be used? Is it like, do people have permission to use it?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, that's one of the words out there in the world that I don't think is ever going to be, like, reclaimed in any kind of a good way. I think it's always going to have that negative, racist, oppressing kind of stigma to it. You know what I mean? I think we've just beaten that one to death, and that one just needs to be erased from the English language altogether.
Yeah,
you know, and
but didn't,
comparing it to examples like honky and cracker or whatever, like, it's really hard to feel bad for, you know, the oppressed oppressors.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so. I get you on there, and I'm tired of hearing it in song, and I think even using the word song to describe what those people are producing that they call music, I think is a sham. But the only thing that I agreed with regards to this was, I saw interviews with black people fighting for the same thing. And they're like, he woke you up. He said it. He's not avoiding it. He said the word. He used it as an illustration. And it's like, that's what people needed to hear to wake up. It's not like, and like I told you before the show started, Al, earlier, I'm like, they're all up in arms about the one time he said it, but nobody's talking about the 47 times he's been called that. Well, 47, that's a small number. During the time he's been in office, every fifth comment after something is that dumb in, which is unjustified.
Well, right.
And of all the millions, I'm not sure how many words are in the English language, but of all the words that we have at our disposal, I think that word evokes the most emotional response too. Like, you're absolutely right. Obama said it, and everybody was like, "What the fuck just happened?" Like, everybody started talking about it. So
yeah, but
it definitely evokes an emotional response from everyone, no matter what side of that you're on.
Would you even say, Kat, that it would be on the same, in the same vein? Like, for example, if in the late 40s, early 50s, you called somebody a Nazi, oddly, it's another N word, but I mean, back then, the connotation of a Nazi was much more dramatic than it is.
No,
it
would have been worse to call them a communist or a pinko. Like, that would have been
that, the worst.
Yeah, that would have been the, yeah. Because that just had a connotation to it where if you were a Nazi, you were a Nazi.
Okay, because we still use the word Nazi
sympathizer.
Right, but that was the thing where you're trying to undermine someone's credibility and, like, make them less of their, you know, you were, that's when name, like, a name calling. Now, my answer has to do with Don Lemon, and I agree with him 100%. If you're reporting the news and you're saying, this man called Obama the N-word, mm-hmm. you're not reporting the news. You're cleaning up the news.
Okay.
This man called Obama, and you say it because you're quoting and you've just sanitized it. Okay. Did he say N-word or did he say the word? You were left unclear. And so that's what Don Lemon's point is if you're like, and he's kind of lessened his thing about the between people thing is getting a little, oh, don't hit the kid again.
Sorry about that, Kat.
Put the bat down.
Yeah. Oh. but that was what I think about when you're reporting it on the news. And yes, you do have to be careful because it's gonna come across wrong. But when he's saying, like, in the manifesto, he didn't use N-word. He said the word.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna read the manifesto, you need it to be ugly.
What it is, right,
you need
right.
to say what it says.
Right.
And you're kind of sanitizing it and kind of buffering us from what was said and the hatred involved. Where, and I have to agree with Don Lemon that you do have to, this is what he said. Otherwise, you're going to be like, well, he said N-word. No, he didn't.
No.
I hate to use the phrase whitewash it, but that's what you're doing.
You're just kind of patting it down.
Making it
But
not,
unfortunately, yeah. people hear the word and they, like, Sonny Von Houston, Sonny Houston, mm-hmm. she was just having a stroke. And he's like, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm using the word. I'm not saying that. Obama didn't call someone that. He yep. said, just because in polite company, we no longer say that word.
Right.
And he
right.
could have said it like that, but he used the word mm-hmm. to get the point across of that, no, you know, you can call me whatever you want to, but it's still racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, right. just because they've changed it to thug on Fox News doesn't mean it doesn't have the same connotation.
Have they seriously done that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize. I don't watch, so I don't know.
That's you know,
interesting.
And just like, this guy's not a terrorist because he's white.
We got less than 3 minutes to go, 3-4 minutes to go. Any follow up on that from Kat or you or anybody else?
Well, my thing is like, on like when you get to banning, like, I don't even know how to phrase this, but like, there are some words that have just gone in and out of fashion, or like you go places with words where like it was the accepted word, now it's not the accepted word, like
the political correctness,
right?
Right.
Like
that's just like languages trend like that, and eventually, hopefully, our language will trend, and we'll be like, "What was that word, and what did it used to mean?"
Right.
You know, and we can definitely hope, but you have to change the attitude behind it before
right.
the language goes away.
Right.
That's right. Absolutely.
You know, because we don't refer to our asshole neighbor as a commie bastard anymore, because it's just. Like, that friend has gone. Like, we're not worried about the commie bastards anymore.
Yeah, it has no meaning anymore. It's lost its power to, like, scare people. We're not going to all hide right. under our desks because right. the commie bastard's next door.
Yep. Get away from me, Chester McCarthy.
Oh, my question keeps, no. it keeps...
I'm worried about the commie bastards because I watched the 1940s Warner Brothers cartoons.
Yeah.
And I know that that's...
that one crow.
That one
something
crow.
Something wrong.
He's going to go
gay. Oh, I'm sorry. The cold medicines fuck with me. There's a question here that just keeps sliding away from me. So I'll think of it for next week. But
all right, we can save it.
Mm-hmm. It's on this
Any topic. Follow-up, Marn? On anything?
Mm-mm.
Kat?
No, I think I'm okay.
Well, I'm glad you are, and I'm glad your family's all right.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah, everybody's good.
Here it is.
I'll have it. Shit.
Are we still, okay. I mean, this is quick. Are we still at the point of, like, forgiving grandparents and aunts and uncles at Christmas when they're just racist pigs?
No, because now they know too much. I mean, when my grandma, my mom's mom, Eagle Grove, Iowa, small town, blah, blah, blah. She died in 05. And I'm not saying like, and then, you know, up until 06, everyone had a right to say that. But she would say it. And from the time I was in high school, we would, but no, grandma, uh-uh. No. And but it was so ingrained in her brain. But yet, when she was with us, she knew better. You know, like, yeah. And tripped over it, but, you know,
broke she would use it, the phrase amongst it. Her friends that right. were of a certain age, because sure. that was how they communicated, but she yeah. knew to not use it around the younger generation.
Right, and we would, every time, I mean, if it did come up, just because that was what was natural, we would, you know, no, nip that. No, right. uh-uh, not gonna happen. Yeah. I'm not okay with it. But I think now,
the world is too small.
And there, and there's too much information everywhere. I mean, there was a lot of fucking information in 05. But now
there's more
to act like you don't to act like you don't know right. the meaning of something right. or the hurtfulness of it. Yeah, that's yeah.
I call bullshit from maybe 85 on.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna go even.
That's how I am. Like I'm no longer delighted by the racist old neighbor, uncle,
yeah. no
grandparent. Yeah.
No,
Kat, anything to add to that, my dear?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's certainly not charming anymore, and I think you know, the younger generation, the current generation, is arrogant and know-it-all enough that, I mean, if we're going to correct Grandma about her misnomers about Facebook, then we should definitely correct her about the racism, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is amen. Not like, how it is. This
yeah.
is
yeah, and we're going to look at Grandma and say, that's not how any of this yeah. works when she's talking about
that's
her Facebook.
That's not how any of this
we
works.
We should really go to the uncomfortable situations and say, no, let's not be racist about the Mexican family across the street either.
That's exactly right.
Beautifully realized.
That yeah. is true. That
that's
is
not
true.
How any of this works. No. It is strangely erotic, though.
Strangely erotic.
It is strangely erotic. That's true.
Well, everybody, you've done it again. You've wasted 3 full hours of a Tuesday night. Well, Kat was out for just a little while, but everything's okay with Kat. That's good to know. Family's all intact. They're gonna recover.
Oh yeah, everybody's still alive.
Very okay. good. Well, we hope to still be alive next Tuesday. Marnie will not be with us. She will be in what she originally thought was San Diego. It's San Francisco, California.
We'd be sitting on a street somewhere,
enjoying a beverage and a pride
parade.
No
fucking parade.
Is that a float?
Yeah, we're not sure.
It looks like a car.
Is that just a gay guy?
Yeah.
What we will do is leave you with a parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.